ജയം ശുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു എൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനെ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാദ്. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്തിർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭീ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ പത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം. പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം. സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതിം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണോ കൊണിതാദൃതാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി. നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാധീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ ത്വത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹദ് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തകേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ So yesterday we were started discussing this 13th chapter, which is Prakriti Pur nature, the enjoyer and consciousness, nature enjoyer and the consciousness. Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam, as it is called in the Bhagavad Gita. So we have seen how in the 12th chapter Krishna spoke Bhakti Yogam, isn't it? And that Bhakti, what was spoken in the 12th chapter, is Parabhakti. And that Bhakti comes after self-realization. So from now on, from this 13th chapter, The way to self-realization is first spoken. That's how this 13th chapter begins. Sakshatkaram, or the realization of the self. And that is why consciousness is taken first as the matter for topic for discussion. So Krishna says here that you can see the word itself, Kshetram. Kshetram means what? Kshetram means, there's many meanings from the Kshetram. Kshetram, one meaning is temple. Temple is Kshetram, isn't it? So, but that means in that way also the word is used. But Kshetram, another meaning of the Kshetram is field, where you grow food. That is the meaning. Just like the field, that is called Kshetram. Field is called Kshetram. In other words, wherever you sow the seed, and from that seed something is grown. You sow the seed and the plant is grown from that, isn't it? Where the seed is germinates and from there a crop grows. Why it is like that? This body has been given that name. The seeds what you have sown in your previous lives, for those seeds to sprout and take birth and grow, that is this body. That's why it's called Kshetram. See? It does not just address like, there's a meaning behind it, why Kshetram it is called. All we have sown a lot of seeds in the previous lives, and those seeds has to take birth somewhere. And they have been thrown into the field. And that field where the plant will take birth and grow, that is this body. See? So that is how Kshetram, the word, has come to this body. Kshetram has come to this body in that way. So wherever you have sown a seed, and the seed to grow and to germinate and to take, come, grow up as a plant, and that place is called Kshetram. It is in that context that Krishna has used the word Kshetram here. Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga, Yogam. So the word Kshetram, Krishna has used in that context, as Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam. The other thing is, Kshetram's nature is Kshayam. That means it will get destroyed one day. That's also another aspect of Kshetram. Kshetram cannot remain permanent. It will go. One day Kshetram will get destroyed. So, we have seen yesterday, Adhyalpam in spiritual life, this realization that, talked about this yesterday, that what is required is not intelligence or mind, but freedom from the mind. That's what helps in spiritual life. Freedom from the mind, freedom from the body. In that state, this knowledge will have a quick impact on the person. Not due to intelligence. Intelligence is not of much help. Actually, intelligence and mind and all, they come and create problems more than help. As I said before, that something in Sattvagunam, if you listen something, that will have sattva sanjayate jnanam, Krishna says. Knowledge will very quickly manifest in a person if he is very much in the mood of goodness. Goodness will capture straight away. Rajogunam will misinterpret. Tamogunam will not understand. This is how it is. Sattvagunam will capture straight away. Rajogunam will misinterpret. Tamogunam will not even hear it properly. So that modes of nature is determines our progress in spiritual life. Not anything else. That modes of nature, even if you hear from the best great personalities, even then, if the reception is not proper, in the proper mode, it will not have its effect. You will completely take it in the wrong way. Completely take it in the wrong way. So, that is why we are talking about, Prahlad is saying to us, Alpmatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. There is nothing more to get. We already got it. It's not something new, you have to get it from anywhere else, isn't it? He says to his friends that, Alpmatval, my dear friends, he says, Alpmatval sarvabhudanam. In all living entities, as Alpma, Krishna is present. Alpmatval sarvabhudanam. And siddhatval iha sarvada. And all times, in all places, it is already available. There's nothing to get from anywhere. Because that is why Prahlad was saying like that was, he's saying, he is a child, isn't it? And he's telling the other children also in the same way. They're all children. Children are talking to others and they're saying to them that there is nothing more easily available to us than Krishna. Krishna is most easily available. Money is not available to us as free as Krishna is. Because money, you can keep it in the bank. It may or may not come when you need it. You may get it. It's not guaranteed, isn't it? Money, somebody else will take 10% off from that. So somebody will make a decision. Then you cannot do anything about it. So something like that can happen. Even money, what you have kept in the bank, dependent on so many other things. How money can come for your rescue when you are in trouble. Government can devalue the like in the war times, the money has lost its value altogether. So situations like that can happen. To put the whole faith in the money will be a disaster. Anything can happen with the money. So money will not be of any use. Body is not in our control. Body also is not in our control. Why we are saying this is to compare with Atma. Atma is available. Body is not available. Money is not available. Body is not available. Body is there now. When it's going to cheat you, you won't know. One morning when you get up, hand is not moving. Legs are not moving. What do you do then? then it is not going to do anything. And there are certain situations can happen that you may get a sickness. And it can alter the whole life, completely finished with that. Isn't it? So therefore, to trust the body will be a big mistake, to trust the body. Mind is also not available. None of them are available because you can see this mind, when it will give you trouble, you don't know. Sometimes it won't listen to you. It won't listen to you. I will keep saying, oh, it's my mind, I keep saying. But when it gives trouble, when I'm alone sitting somewhere, it drives you crazy. Already it's driving crazy. And then I start getting up doing something or the other to keep the mind out of the trouble. So always it is frightens you, this mind, isn't it? It is frightening you. So it will make you feel worry about the future. It will make you worry about the body. Krishna himself says that, isn't it? In the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna mentions that. That constantly it does only one thing, whole life it will frighten you. This thing called mind. So, so this mind also is not available. Mind is not available. Body is not available. Money is also not available. Krishna is available. This is Prahlad is saying. Atmatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. If something you have, you can say it's your own, that is Krishna. Not money, not the mind or the body. And mind makes, sometimes it can even make you feel that he is your enemy. In such a way the mind can behave also. So practically you can see there is no thing in this world where you can take any shelter. Isn't it? Where you can take any shelter. So first of all we have to find therefore where to take the shelter, where to take the shelter. So that is why in the Bhagavadam it is mentioned also in the Upanishads that everything what you are taking shelter of in this world is like a boat with a hole underneath. If you take a boat to travel to cross the river or the ocean with a boat, and if it has got a hole at the bottom, you know what will happen after some time, you're going to sink, isn't it? So all this thing called body, mind, money, everything is like that. It will not give you any shelter. It will cheat you one day or the other. When that will happen, very difficult to say. Body will definitely cheat you one day. It's not going to be there forever. One day, you don't know when it will happen, but any time it can happen. So therefore, continuously, like if you take a boat which has got a hole, constantly water keeps coming in. In the same way, our when it's going to sink, you don't know. So, so some people say we are engaged in karmam, karmanushtanam. Karmanushtanam means vaidhiya karmanushtanam. That means in Vedam there are certain instructions how one should live in this world, executing their daily karmam, nitya karmam. They call it nitya karmam. Daily anushtanam. Anushtanam means japam, puja, dhyanam, and other for the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishya, shudras, different ways. So if you say that even about those vaidhiya karma anushtanam, all that anushtanam also, Upanishad says plavahyede adraha yajna rupaha ashtadashoktam avaram yeshu karma adraha plavaha. In other words, all these boats, all of them, including the karmam side of it, is adridam. Adridam means it doesn't have any stability. It can, any moment, it can break up or it can sink. So, any moment, the hole, through the hole, the water will get in, and water will get in, and the boat will sink. So, you can understand what that means, isn't it? For example, in the Vaidika system, you have opportunity to execute sadhana. That means chanting the holy name, say going to the temples, paying obeisances to the deity, and engaging in activities which are considered to be sadhana in your bhakti process. Or karmanushtanam, they call it, Vaidya karmanushtanam. Karmanushtanam means that those activities which will develop chitta shuddhi, purification of your own mind. For that purpose, you do them. If anything happens to your body or anything happens to your mind, it comes to a stop. Is it not? Finish there. Your sadhana is over then. What will you do? So that is why Upanishad is saying, adrida plavaha, that means even the vaidhiya karmam, what you are allowed to do, even that you can't trust. What to talk about the body and the mind and the bank balance. Body, mind, bank balance, money and all that, you can never trust. They will cheat you any moment. But even if you think that I am following the Vedam, Vedic injunctions, where Vedas are telling us that you should execute your spiritual life in this way, whatever the instructions are given, and you are doing certain things, say for example, you are doing deity worship, you are chanting your holy name, and you are doing various fasting, Ekadashi day. So many things you do as a sadhana process. Even that is dependent on the body and the mind. Is it not? If anything happens to body and mind, that also comes to a stop. That is why Upanishad is saying that plavahede adidaha yajna rupaha, or there are Vedic sacrifices, for example, Rajasuyam and expensive Ashwamedham and all those sacrifices, big sacrifices, which are performed by the big people, personalities. Even the yajna rupaha, ashtadashoktam avaram, eshta karma adridaha plavaha, even that you can't trust. Even that also you can't trust. So all of them, including your anushtanam, anushtanam means all your sadhana, everything, that can also sink one day. Because all these anushtanam means this, your sadhana processes, is all dependent on your body. Dependent on your body. The moment the body becomes useless, your sadhana is also comes to an end. Practically it will come to an end. You have seen many, many devotees even today who have tried to engage in spiritual life and did many things in their life. Many years they have practiced Krishna consciousness, and sometime due to prarabdham some illness comes, and for months and months together they have to lie in the bed. They can't do anything about it, and eventually they lose their body. So that's what I'm saying. Even there, your anushtanam, it is dependent on the body. It's dependent on the body. So that is as far as body is concerned. Now if you think that I've read a lot of books, studied a lot of things, collected a lot of understanding from different books, even that, if a little bit of dementia comes, that's gone. Is it not? Through mind and intelligence, if you have acquired a lot, even that, if something happens, dementia can come anyone, isn't it? If it comes, that's gone. You know the famous personality Radhakrishnan, Dr. S. Radhakrishnan, he was one of the top personalities. Prabhupada was using Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita while teaching Bhagavad Gita to everyone, before Prabhupada wrote his own Bhagavad Gita. Even Radhakrishnan, who has studied Shastram very well, and he has written in English language so much books about Upanishads and Puranams and Vedam, everything. Finally, while he was dying, he couldn't even remember his name. He couldn't even remember his name. This is the situation which each one of us. So what will happen any moment, what will happen to mind, what will happen to the body, there is no guarantee in anyone's case. Nothing is guaranteed. So if you can't even remember your own name, What about all what you have read and studied and written? Where is it going to stay? It will never be there, isn't it? So you cannot take shelter of everything what you have studied either. You may have studied many things. That is why you shouldn't give too much importance to study. Not much of importance to study, because more important than studying is to stay in the platform of the soul through the understanding and realization. It's not going to come from always to act in that state of that understanding of the self, and the to be situated in that platform is more important than acquiring a lot of knowledge or acquiring a lot of information from the other book. That is only vastu, to be in the vastu, to stand in the vastu, or you have to get the vastu. Vastu means soul here, because the soul has got a very funny thing, because you can't identify, pinpoint about the soul. Sometimes it is addressed in different ways. In the Bhagavatam, when it begins, soul is addressed as vastu. Have you noticed? Vedyam vastavam. Vastavam is vastu. Vastu has become vastavam there. So vastu is, sometimes it is addressed as vastu, because you can't address it in any other way except in this form. So vastu is available to us all. All of us, we have got that vastu with us. What is that vastu? Vastu is this, that awareness, consciousness. That's what we are going to discuss now in this chapter. Nature, enjoyer and the consciousness. So that consciousness is available to us. And that is the only thing what is in our control. Control means something what we have some relationship permanently, which will stay as us and as the shelter also, is the consciousness. So this is the reason why, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there 12th canto is given the name as Ashrayam. Isn't it? You know that. 12th canto is called as Ashrayam. Ashrayam means shelter. Ashrayam means shelter. So 10th canto is Nirodham. 11th canto is Mukti. 10th canto is Nirodham. 11th canto is Mukti. Mukti Skandam. Or it's another name given to it is Jnana Skandam. 11th canto is called Mukti Skandam or Jnana Skandam. So it is after the 11th canto, the 12th canto comes, and it is called Ashrayam. Ashrayam means shelter, isn't it? So Mukti is first thing Krishna wants us to understand what Mukti means. That is why in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna spoke about that over many 29 chapters or so to Uddhava, about Mukti first. And Mukti means, in Krishna's words, simply it is realizing the self. That is Mukti, or knowledge of the soul, in other words. And never that is mentioned anywhere about going to Vaikuntham or Kailasam is not considered as Mukti. Is not considered Mukti. Because those things have come because we have a tendency to go traveling, isn't it? Touring. Even now we have that. So when we lose this body also, we want to do the same thing. Travel around and see what's going on everywhere. That touring nature, that is in everybody, if we want to do that. So that is why we say, I want to go here, I want to go there. And that is one of the favorite pastimes for everyone, touring, traveling around here. So so some people may have that vasana inside. So for them, even after death, that vasana won't go. Body you have gone, but vasana has not gone. So you start again looking for where to go now, to the next place. So you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, nowhere it is spoken about Vaikuntham, going to Vaikuntham. It is not spoken. Krishna has not spoken anywhere, nor in any other devotees have spoken about it. But what you find there is that the way mukti or liberation is spoken in the Bhagavatam is mukti hi tanyadha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. That is how mukti has been put. If you look into the second canto, you will see there Krishna mentions about mukti. Shruti Brahmarshi's words itself is mukti hi tanyadha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. I think it is in the second canto, 9th or 10th chapter. somewhere around there, or 10th, is it? Oh. Yeah. Nirodhasya anushayanam atmana saha shakti bhi muktirhi tanyadha rupam surubena vyavasthiti. Simple definition. Mukti means anyadha rupam hitva. Anyadha rupam means that we have identification with the body. We have identification with various other things, isn't it? Which we identify with. Tetva, give up all that. And surubena vivasthiti, situated within the self, in your pure identity as the spirit soul. If you are situated like that, then it is mukti. That is how Shukha Brahmarshi calls mukti. Shukha Brahmarshi's definition. Nirodhasya anushayanam atmanasaha shakti bhi muktirhi tanyadha rupam surubena vyavasthiti. Surubena vyavasthiti, that is mukti. Surubena vyavasthiti is mukti. So Krishna says that so muktihi tanyadha rupam surubena vyavasthiti. Give up everything what you are not and be situated in what you are, in your own surubam, and that is what is our surubam, satyachitta anandam, isn't it? We are Sachidanandam. So that Sachidananda surubam, or in that realization, yanam or brahmanishta, that is called brahmanishta, situated in brahmam, or in that state, that is addressed here as, a name of that is given here as mukti, according to Srimal Bhagavatam, according to Srimal Bhagavatam. Now, if you say that I don't want to hear from Bhagavatam, I don't want to hear from I want to hear from Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads, if you say like that, reason is that quite often people study Bhagavad Gita with Srimal Bhagavatam, isn't it? So naturally we will think that why it is said like this in Bhagavad Gita in a different way in the Bhagavatam. That confusion should not happen. That is why I am saying this. That as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned also, it's the same thing. And as far as Srimal Bhagavatam is concerned also, it's the same thing. There is no difference at all. But we should not feel that there is any difference in the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita or Srimal Bhagavatam. Both are telling us one and the same thing. Mukti hitanyadha rupam surupena vyavasthiti. That is mukti. Mukti spoken about. So, but after mukti, what is next? After mukti, what? So, sometimes it is possible that after liberation, that depends on the state of liberation. What state of liberation it is. Because as you know, that there are different kinds of liberation, isn't it? Samipyam, Salokyam, Sairupyam, Sayujyam, Sarshti. There are four or five different kinds of liberation spoken. So it is possible even after liberation based on the vasanas inside, you may have to have something to take shelter. You want to have. Suppose it happened, depends on the what samskaram one has developed. One who has got jnana samskaram, he may do not want to come back again. Once for all, finish up this business of taking birth and go into another state where he doesn't have to come back and completely finish up with taking another birth. The bhakti samskaram, it is possible one who has bhakti inside, he may like to continue with that. And he would like to have some shelter somewhere. And if he has to come back to another body again. You can see many, many great personalities have to take birth again in some body. They have to come back here. So when what will you take shelter of at that time? So that situation, what you experience in your liberated state, what you have experienced in your liberated state, that is addressed as Bhagavan. What you have, that is addressed as Bhagavan, and or your prajna at that time, sharira prajna, or in the sharira mandalam, or in the plane of the body, You have to address it like that, as Sharira Prajna or Ishwara or Bhagavan, in that way. So, that liberated state, when we say that mukti or liberated state, the vastu that has to take shelter of is Bhagavan, Krishna. Krishna is the vastu to take shelter. Only Krishna is to be taken shelter. But before taking shelter of Krishna, we have to know where is Krishna, isn't it? Where is Krishna and what is Krishna's nature? All these things we have to know. So knowing these swarupam of Krishna and taking a shelter, that is important. Because there is no other thing what you can shake shelter of in this world. That is the most important thing. This is only possible to come to this conclusion. After liberation we are now talking about, not prior to liberation. After liberation, a stage will come that it is possible that you did not want to merge with the truth. You want to stay independent. You don't want to lose your identity. You want to be free from all other identification, but still you don't want to lose your identity. If that situation happens, you want to take shelter of something. That is bhakti. Because Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Bhakti, when it is parabhakti, it is executed that way, in that state. So while executing that parabhakti stage, you need a shelter, and that shelter, you can't take shelter of anything in this world at that stage. Because he knows very well, anything you take shelter in this world, it will leave you. It's not going to stay here. So that is the first thing one has to come to terms with. For example, as I mentioned before, no matter how wealthy you are, when it's going to get cheated, you don't know. When you're going to get cheated, you don't know. So many wealthy people, they kill themselves, is it not? Even yesterday there was this news about a very wealthy Russian billionaire who died. And they don't know what it is, but anyway, it happens. Death happens. Death can happen even to wealthy people. They are not exempted from that, are they? So wealth is not a shelter. Wealth is not a shelter. When you will be cheated, you don't know. You don't know. Similarly, many, many wealthy people are living in great distress in this world. Great distress. Great stress they have, and great distress also they have. Either they are losing their wealth in one way or the other, or get caught up in some vyavaharam somewhere, in the politicians, businessmen. Their mind is completely occupied with all these things, isn't it? So that stress they are experiencing. So otherwise, sometimes what will happen, they have so much wealth, but they are not able to do anything with it, with the wealth. What will you do if you have 100 billion pounds or 50 billion pounds? Nowadays what they do, they go and buy a football club and spend the money there. Because they don't know what to do with this wealth. And always fearful, government is after them everywhere. As soon as there is shortage of money, first thing you will get is, who has got it? Get it out of them. If you don't have anything, nobody will catch you. Isn't it? You're safe. Nobody wants to know anything about you. Nobody will ask you anything. So, whereas the wealthy people, their problem is that government is after them. Government is after them. So that is the greatest distress. What's that? So wealth is not a security in this world. This is first thing to remember. So that situation can come. That's what I'm saying. Wealth is, to trust on wealth and think that everything is going to be safe with the wealth is still the greatest blunder. Then the other thing is that certain illnesses. You may have a lot of wealth, but some illness comes. What can you do with your wealth? You can't do anything. Can you? Body is going to go. You know that. It's on its way out. And you have billions of pounds sitting there with you. What will you do? What's the use of that wealth, what you have got? So all of these things, illness is not going to go. And if you do not take seriously these things, what will happen is the life will teach you. If you don't take it seriously on board, all these understanding of life, if we don't take it seriously, life will teach you. Only thing is, that is the duty of material nature. It is Prakriti's job to teach us these things. And the only thing is, if you don't want to learn it in the proper way, Prakriti will beat you up and teach you. Like sometimes children have to be taught in that way, isn't it? They're not willing to learn. What do? Stick. And that is the process. Prakriti's process is like that. If you are not willing to listen to these rules of Prakriti or material nature, and you completely ignore material nature and think because of the ego inside that I have control over the situation, I want to be in control, and to act in that way, one day material nature herself, she will impose certain situation on us from where we will have no escape from that. That is what it is saying here. So at that time we will understand in the, then you will open our eyes and see what Alexander learned it that way. Many other personalities learned in the same way. Isn't it? And then you will know that we are totally helpless. It is then that when you know we are totally helpless, and you'll also know that there is nothing here where you can take shelter of in this world. There is nothing here to take shelter of. And when that happens, we completely lose, we get totally disturbed at that time, isn't it? But the sad thing is, by the time you get disturbed, the life is coming to an end. Life is coming to an end at that time, isn't it? So, instead of that, such a situation happening in life, from the very beginning, if you have satsangam, and if you take the shelter of satsangam, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the knowledge Krishna has given us, and from that knowledge, to understand that there is something where you can take shelter. And that shelter, and getting hold on to that, and to leave everything where we have taken shelter temporarily, where we should not have taken shelter. Things where we should not have taken shelter, to lose our grip on that. Our grip on that, and early as possible release that connection with that shelter. Early as possible release that connection with the shelter. There is a saying, you know this thing called, in Shastram they call it Shashkuli. Shashkuli means, it is in the Bhagavadam, when Govardhanam pastimes happened, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi and all the cowherd men, they were preparing various things for the festival. Initially it was an Indriyagam, isn't it, to please Indra. Krishna says, you don't need that. Govardhanam has to be placed first. So Nanda Maharaj was a bit confused. He knew what to do with Indra, what sort of thing should be offered to Indra, because Indra is a personality like that, isn't it? But Govardhanam is a mountain, what should I offer to the mountain? So Krishna gives the list to Indra, what all should be prepared. Samyavam Pupa Shashkulyai, it says there in the Bhagavatam, you will see. Samyavam means with the wheat, milk and sugar, a preparation. Pupam Shashkuli. Shashkuli is this thing, I don't know what is it called in English. It is made and it is savory. When you bite it, you need the teeth, good teeth to bite it. I don't know what is it called. I'm not sure, it's chakli or something they call in Hindi, I think. Sukhadiya. Whatever that is. You need good teeth to eat, enjoy it, if you want to enjoy it. If you don't have teeth, you can't eat it, because it needs that biting, strong biting. So there's a saying that before the teeth drops away, you should give up your attachment to that. Otherwise you will suffer. Otherwise you'll suffer. If you're because it is a nice savory, people like it. And and if you want to eat that, and if your teeth is gone, what will you do? So in the similar way, so taking shelter of the things has to be given up before that situation happens. That is wise thing to do. Wise thing to do. Because temporary things, anityam, they should be used. And permanent thing, there's no harm using the temporary things. But permanent, you cannot avoid that. You have to use the temporary things. Anitya vastu for utilization. Permanent vastu for shelter. That is the basic principle. Permanent vastu for shelter. Permanent thing for the shelter. Nitya vastu for shelter. Anitya vastu for vyavaharam. That's all. Simple thing. Anitya, what happens normally is temporary thing, what we all do, we take shelter of the temporary things. Money, family, and contacts, and relations, and society, everything. And permanent thing, Krishna, we do business with. It's the opposite thing that is expected from us. Shelter with Krishna and business with the rest of the world, rest of the things in this world. So that is why Shruti says, where do we find that? Shruti says itself that that if you inquire about that vastu, what you are looking for, you won't find it in the world outside. Like, that's where things have gone wrong. Remember, that vastu, what you are supposed to take shelter, you are doing your haram now. For example, this God particle. God particle, you can't take shelter, can you? God particle, you do all the research, and what will you do with that God? Particle God. Particle God is useless. So, the same thing is here. So, research won't help you here, and you can't find that God outside. You can't find that God outside. Because all these things, what these scientists are doing today, rishis have done similar experiments long, long ago. It is after that they have come to this conclusion. That you have to remember. That it is not something new to the rishis. Rishis have already done so many experiments like this, what the scientists are doing. And they've already come to this conclusion like this. That whatever the modern science is offering to us, all this magic, what this modern science is presenting to us, you will see many places mentioned in the Puranam, all these things, a lot of these things. You may think, don't think that it is all just stories written. Rishis have gone through this because human life has been existing for such a long time. And it is foolish to think that only now we have found out something about God through these experiments and research. Many, many civilizations have come and gone, and Vedic civilization, which is the oldest of all, they had gone through this so long ago. You can see there, it is in the Bhagavadam, if you look in the 9th canto, how to make a man woman, how to make a woman man, 6 months man, 6 months woman. All this is possible. They have done it with Sudyumna, isn't it? Sudyumna and Ila. Remember that story in the 9th canto? Yeah. 6 months he is a man and 6 months he is a woman. They knew how to get it done. Vasishtha Maharshi spoke to Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva done that to him. That was nothing new in that. We still have trying with that, isn't it? We have not got there yet. But that's the way things are going at the moment. So, similarly, in the Mahabharatam, if you look, Gandhari cut open her stomach and a piece of flesh came out. Vedavyasa Maharshi cut it into 100 pieces, put it in 100 pots, chanted some mantra and 100 children came out of that. So what's new about this? That we are saying that, oh, this is, we think that this is some story. No, Vedavyasa Maharshi is not story. Vedavyasa Maharshi gave us all these things. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and many other Vedic literature comes from Vedavyasa. And Vedavyasa was capable of doing all these things. So what I'm saying is, what the science is doing and all this magic, and completely people are perplexed by the scientific advancement and getting disturbed over it, thinking that it's something new. No. Rishis have done all these things long, long ago, and they have passed through that phase and they have understood there is no truth in all these things. That's what they are saying there. So, not only that, if you look in Ramayanam, you will see Vishwamitra Maharshi, he had such deadly weapons. And he wanted to hand it over to somebody. And he couldn't find anyone whom he could trust. And that is how he comes to Dasharatha Maharaj, asking them to send Ramchandra and Lakshmana with them, so that he wanted to teach them the weapons what he had in possession. As powerful as the nuclear weapons what we have, which could, because Vishwamitra Maharshi was very sensible. He said if it goes to the wrong hands, they will destroy the whole thing. So therefore, you can see there the weapons also, they had everything. They knew how to fight wars, and very amazing weapons they have developed through the power of mantras, chanting the mantram. And you can see that in Ramayana, Mahabharatam, and in so many instances in the Bhagavatam also, You will observe there Parashuram, when he went to kill the Kshatriyas, how he killed them. And he killed thousands and thousands of them, Kshatriya kings, purely out of their power of the mantram, the Brahmanical strength inside. It is then that Vishwamitra Maharshi said that Mahabalam, Brahmana's Balam is Balam, not Kshatriya's Balam, he said. Kshatriya's Balam is no Balam, he says. Brahmana's Balam is real Balam. Because he could see that Brahmana can act if he wants to, although in the wrong, he has not meant to, but act in that direction. Brahmanas will never do such a thing. But what you can see here, all these things they have experimented. Who? The sages. Rishis have experimented all these things, and finally they have found out all of this is asat. This was the final conclusion. After doing all experiments, they found out everything is asat, isn't it? And none of this will finally give us the shandi, what everyone is looking for. So they considered that all this knowledge of the weapons, science, technology, and all these powerful things what they created, they classified that as ajnanam or avidya. That is category they have put it. They simply consider that everything is ajnanam and avidya. So we will also one day, hopefully, we will also come to the same conclusion after going on like this for a long period of time. But only sad thing is, before that happens, there will be a lot of destruction. Only after that it can happen, to come to the senses, isn't it? Like you can see, so many things we have developed, and you don't know when it is going to blast, whole thing. And well, a lot of misery will happen, and then we will realize that there is nothing worth in this, all these things. We'll come to our senses one day. So sages are saying that knowing things is not important, rather taking shelter is important. At the moment, science strength is on that, knowing things more and more, isn't it? The Rishi's conclusion is, knowing is not important, taking shelter is more important. That way you will live peacefully in this world. So therefore, this whole thing is, you will see in this chapter, everything first starts with your own body. Keeping your body is the first topic of discussion in the Bhagavad Gita. In this 13th chapter, body is the beginning of everything, not the world. Your own body is the first thing you have to look at, to start discussion about that. So, because knowing yourself, you have to start this business of realizing the self. Because it is a little bit selfishness, you may say, why you are talking about yourself. Reason is, you have to ask the question, what should I get whereby I will be happy? Whereby I will be happy? Because I want to escape from here. That is the goal, first thing. It's no point thinking that everything can be adjusted or everything can be rectified here. That is not possible. That conclusion we have to come ourselves. And when that conclusion comes, the first thing what you do, you have to know where to take shelter, isn't it? Where to take shelter? What is the right way to go further? So just like, if I come to that conclusion, I have to escape first. Just like, the example is like this. Suppose you got a very flat screen modern television at home, which you are very attached to, and the house caught fire, will you say that, let me get my telly first out, or will you jump out of the window? What will be the first thing you will do? If you are still attached to your television, suppose somebody has a television, who has used the television, you may are attached to television, when the house is on fire, you don't worry about the television, you run out, isn't it? First thing you want to save yourself first. That is what is required in spiritual life, how to save oneself from this. So, so similarly, in person who has got good intelligence and good discrimination power, Yoga Sutram Patanjali says like this, that after thinking enough and you have developed that proper discrimination, sarvam dukkham viveginam. For vivegi, for a person with good reasoning and power of discrimination, for him everything is distress here. Everything is distress here. So, if you look around, you can see you are just sitting here now in a house which is on fire. Which is on fire. And he has to feel it, because you can see that the you're getting old, different diseases are coming to this body, people whom we are very close to you, they are leaving you, they are leaving the body and they are getting separated from us. And all that what you have learned in your life, in the school and college, is also becoming redundant, of no use now in life. After a certain age, what will you do with it? All that what you spent 10, 20 years in the uni, it's all wasted. So, and your situation in the world is also changing. No one recognizes you, accept you in any way. So that is why he says that all other things also, when he starts realizing that everything what he is experiencing here is only giving you a signal that it is time to go. It's time to go. That message is coming indirectly. Sometimes it will be a phone call, sometimes it's an email, sometimes it will be on the Twitter or whatever, whichever way, the modern way it is done. And finally, Yama Dharma Raja, when he says that you are not acknowledging the message, then he has to come and take us away at the end. So, point is here, without getting hurt, if you want to escape from here, from this world, without getting hurt, Krishna says that all other things what you carry with us is on fire. Like, our vasanas inside, kamam, krodham, that means lust, anger, greed, envy, and so many other things, all of them are pride, ego, every single thing is like a fire around us. It's like a fire around us. And how will I, that is the fire actually. All these things are the fire in which you are burning. And how to come out of this fire, that is the question. So, one who has got proper intelligence and proper discrimination, he should be frightened about it. He should be frightened about it. So, one who is not frightened, about whom Vedavyasa Maharshi says in the Ramayana. You know, Vedavyasa wrote Ramayana also. Like we have Valmiki's Ramayana, Vedavyasa summarized it in and called it as Adhyalpa Ramayana, spiritual Ramayana it is called. In there he mentions this. In Adhyalpa Ramayanam, he talks about that. Valmiki's Ramayanam is very elaborate description of the war and fighting and all that. Forests, everything. But when Vedavyasa summarized Ramayanam into as Adhyalpa Ramayanam, it is only 6,000 verses. He has brought it together. And there he mentions like this, Chakshushravana Galastamam Darduram. That means, Chakshushravana means snake. There are two snakes looking at each other. Galastamam darduram. In both of these snakes inside, in their throat, there is one frog sitting. One frog in one snake's throat, another frog in the other snake's throat. And these frogs, you must have seen how they catch their food. They put their tongue out and some small insects or flies will come and will get stick to that tongue and will pull the tongue inside. They'll eat them away. Like that they eat. So these two frogs in the two snakes' mouth, they are sitting there. If the snake closes its mouth, its life is over. But even then the frog is thinking, is there something nice to eat? That is the frog's mood. Frog is thinking, is there something I can get nice to eat? Adhyalpa Ramayanam says, we are also in the same situation, isn't it? All of us. Time will take us away. And still desire for enjoyment has not gone. Kalarina parigrastamam logam. Kalam means time. That is completely engulfing us. It's actually going to close its mouth any time. If the snake closes its mouth, the frog's life is over. Frog knows that. Still, frog wants to looking for something to enjoy. It's the same situation in the Bhagavatam also. Uddhava asked Krishna, why is it like that? Shoka Rajavad, he says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Shava Karam Ajam. Why people are like this? When they know that the danger is so imminent and anything can happen anytime and the situation is so precarious, still Shoka Rajavad, he says, Shava means dog, Karam means asses, Aja means goat. Goat is being taken to the slaughterhouse to be butchered. But while taking also, when it sees some leaf somewhere, it's going and seeing if I can just eat that leaf before I go to die. So that is Shokarajavad, who Uddhava says this to Krishna. Why is it like this? Krishna was asked by Uddhava. So similarly, whatever I may experience here, position, recognition, whatever it may be, it's all false. It's all false. Your good name, your fame, everything is all false. There is nothing much in it. It's all a waste of time. And that is why Lord Buddha mentioned this from the very first time, isn't it? When he had the, what did he say? Edi janma jara maranam na bhaved. When he was asked, Buddha was asked about this, isn't it? Buddha was told that that Buddha's father wanted to keep him somehow as a prince and get him married and live a comfortable life, everything. Buddha says, edi janma jara maranam na bhaved. Edi ishta viyogam na bhaved. Yadi sarvam anityam na bhavet, iha kasya janmani na bhavet. Kasya janmani radiram na bhavet, he says. Yadi janma janam maranam na bhavet, can you tell me, guarantee me that there will not be old age and death? Buddha asked this question. Then I will think about this life here. That was Buddha's point. Yadi janma janam maranam na bhavet, no another birth, no death and old age. Can you guarantee me? Then I am interested in this life here. He said, there's a long story about Buddha like that, very interesting things. And yadi ishtaviyogam na bhaved, and all those people around me, can you guarantee me that they will be here forever? Then it is worthwhile having all this relationship with the family, society and everything, if they are going to be there permanent. They will also go in their own time, they will all leave you. They are not going to stay there. So what's the point in all these relationships? This was Buddha's question. All these relationships what we are building up with this world, with the people here, what is the meaning? One day suddenly one of them has gone or you are gone. Relationship is over. Edi ishtaviyogam na bhaved. Then he says, everything is anityam, temporary. Isn't it? Everything, all these facilities what you are offering me, he says, is there a guarantee that it will stay? Because as kings, they are more frightened than us. Any moment another king can conquer and take control of everything, that could be gone in 1 second, isn't it? So what is permanent here? That is Buddha's question. Janma jara maranam na bhaved, edi ishta viyogam na bhaved, sarvam anityam na bhaved. If it is all like this, if it is permanent, then I am interested in living here. Otherwise, iha kasya janmani radir na bhaved. What is the point in developing any attachment here? Buddha asked that question, isn't it? So, as far as you are the son of an emperor, like Lord Buddha, or if you are a beggar in this world, whatever it may be, as far as the person is concerned, they are all in the same situation. There is no difference. Whether it is Buddha, son of a great king, or an ordinary person, as far as death is concerned, illness is concerned, it is the same thing. Whether you are a beggar, or whether you are son of an emperor, or you are a brahmana, or a shudra, or whatever it may be, whether you are an Indian or an American, it doesn't matter. This distress won't go from us. It will not never leave us. So, this situation, what we are in today, that is what is called a samsara, material existence, isn't it? So, in order to understand the seriousness of this situation, so because we have not thought about it enough, or we are not bothered to think about it, therefore, when somebody talks about Vedantam, people find that, why are you telling me all these things and disturb my mind, they will say. Many people respond like that. When you talked about these things, the reply normally you get is, they'll say, why are you disturbing my mind? Well, I don't want to hear all these things. I want to live in this world. I want to make this place comfortable. They will say like that, isn't it? So, but it is something like this, somebody is very seriously ill. And another person who is very serious, he is going and want to give him some medicine to get rid of that illness. But that person is saying, I don't want any treatment. It is something similar to that, this is. So, one thing one we have to understand is, except this knowledge, what is mentioned here as Vedantam, except this Vedantic knowledge, there is no other knowledge that is going to protect us from this situation. Nothing is going to protect us from this situation. Because in order to have this knowledge, what is spoken in the Vedam, in the Upanishads, what is that required to have this knowledge? There's only one thing that is required. What is that? Vicharam. Vicharam means thoughtful nature, able to think properly, So where do you have to turn your attention? Vicharam means thoughtful nature, isn't it? Your thought power. You have to turn your attention, thought power has to be directed towards your own body, first thing. First to turn your attention towards your own body. That is why you see in this chapter, Krishna begins with the body first. How, after so much research and experiments, and after going through all this, what so many civilizations have gone through, Vedic civilization has conducted these experiments long, long ago, and they have finally come to the conclusions that if ever we have to do any research in the world, it is the research with this body, not with the world. Do research with your own body. That is the first principle. That is why this 13th chapter, when Krishna has begun, he started with the body. You can understand why, can't you? From all what we have spoken so far. Why with the body? You could have started with anything else. For other planets he could have spoken, or about life in other planets, or so many different things. In Puranams and all that, they talk to you about the planets, other planets, how the life is there, how life is going on there, other places. Scientists are telling us about other planets where you could go on an excursion and everything. Nobody is able to tell you like the way Krishna has spoken here. Krishna is saying to us, all this research, all these inquiries what you had in so many civilizations and so many different countries and so many different places, so many things you have done to find out a solution to the problem, nothing else worked because the place where you started the research itself is wrong. The first research is to start with your own body. That is the first thing Krishna gave importance to. Can you imagine that of all the people, Krishna is the personality who doesn't want to talk about the body. Remember that also. Krishna doesn't like talking about the body. Every time Krishna says, don't discuss about the body, body is only going to create trouble. After saying all that, Krishna starts with the body here. So that shows importance. Why body is important? Only for one purpose, to teach you this lesson. For that body is necessary. Isn't it? Remember, out of the 25 spiritual masters, after talking about the 24, what did he say? Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hetu, Bhagavadam says. Isn't it? Also Krishna says that. Shiva Brahmarshi says, quoting Krishna there. Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hetu. If you look into Ekadasha Skandam, you will see there. Why body is important. Body has something to teach us. That is why body is important. If you look into 11th canto, in the 13th chapter, you will see there that there is in the 13th chapter, Deham Janashwaram, 36th verse. The textbook Srimad Bhagavatam, which talks about the soul, is discussing about the body. Deham Janashwaram Avastidam Uttidam Va Siddhona Vashyati Yadad Agamat Swarupam Deivadabedam Udadeiva Vashad Ubedam Vasoyada Padigradam Madhira Madhandaha. Remember that verse? We discussed a lot about this verse when we discussed that 13th chapter. Do you remember? That Deham Janashwaram Avastidam Uttidam Va Siddhona Vashyati Yadad Agamat Swarupam Deivat abedam udadaiva ashad ubedam vaso yadha parikradam madhira madhandaham. And the next verse. Dehobi deiva vashakham galu karma yaval swarambhagam pradisamichadam eva sasum sam saprabanjamadhiruda samadhi yogam Swapnam punar na bhajade pratibuddha vastu. Go back to those two verses if you want to think about, discuss it. In very briefly, Krishna is saying, Deham ja nashwaram. Don't trust this body. It is nashwaram. Avasthidam uttidam va. It is there today, it won't be there tomorrow. Siddho na bhashyati yado dhyagamat swarupam. Siddho na bhashyati yado dhyagamat swarupam. That you have got it today, use it for the purpose what you can use it for. And deiva adabedam uda deiva vashad ubedam. Deivam, deivam here means by destiny it has come and destiny will take it away from you at some point in time. Why destiny? Because prarabdham brought this body and prarabdham will take it away from you. At some point it will go, isn't it? That's what says here. Deivam, deiva, deivadavedam uda deiva vashad ubedam. Deivadavedam uda deiva vashad ubedam. Vaso yadha parikritam madhira madhandaha. Just like we are talking about this self-realized soul's life, it's talking about here. When a drunk person, fully drunk, from the pub is coming out, and while going home, he's feeling very hot. And because he's not in senses, what does he do? Takes his shirt off, jacket off first, throws it away on the street. And then one after the other, different things he throws away from the body. And sometimes fully naked he goes. Because he's drunk, he doesn't know anything. Similarly, when realization happens, we will throw this body away exactly the same way that person who is drunk has thrown away everything. That's how our attachment to this body is. That is all it is. There's nothing more than that. When that time comes and when you have to leave this body, you will know it. Now you won't know. Now you will give everything to body. But the time when you have to leave the body, it will be like that. That is what Krishna is saying here. Deiva adabedam, deiva vashat abedam, vaso yatha parikritam madhira madhandha. Madhira madhandha means one who is drunk. And who walks away, when he throws away the clothes, he is not conscious, isn't it, anymore about his clothes. And maybe next day he will say, I had a little excess yesterday. Sometimes they say like that, isn't it? So it's funny they are when they get drunk, how they behave. So anyway, it's good example though. When you compare self-realized soul and the man who is drunk. It is like that. The way they renounce that body, the way we renounce the body at the time is compared to that. Like that person who throws away his clothes. It's a final example in the Bhagavatam and it has come from Krishna. So you have to take it that way. Krishna's example that is, Dehobi deiva vashakad ghalu karma yaval swarambhagam prati samikshadam eva sasu tam saprabhanjam adhiruda samadhi yogam swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddhavastu. When there is no self-realization, just like in your dream state, you have given so many things you have seen and experienced in the dream. Would you take it seriously? You don't, do you? And similarly, Krishna says, Swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. Why worship something what you have got here in this material existence, in this material body? So similarly, you can see also, if you go back into a little bit more earlier, in the when Uddhava discussed about the 24 spiritual masters, he mentions the same thing there about the 24th spiritual master. He says there, that the this body has taught me a lesson, he says, isn't it? Who says that? Dattatreya Maharshi, yes. Dattatreya Maharshi says there, I have learned something from this body also, is it not? So that is also there, that in the Bhagavatam. So Deham Gurur Mama, that is 25th verse in the 9th chapter. Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Vivega Hedu Bibrasma Sattva Nithanam Satadat Udakam Tatvanyanena Vimrshami Yatha Tathabi Parakyamit Avasito Vicharam Rasangaha. Look at that. Here, the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying this and Krishna is doing the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? In this 13th chapter, Krishna starts with the body. Here, Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Vivega Hedu. from this body I have understood something. It given me detachment. It taught me how to be detached. Virakti viveka hedu, that vivekam, discrimination, I got this from this body. Bibhrasma sattva nidhanam sadadat udarkam tattva nyanena vimrshami yathatada abhi parakyamit avasito vicharam yasangaha. I have learned one thing from this body, tattvam. Tattvam is what I got from this body. So there is in the, you will see there, when it comes to Shastram, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is very, very close. There is practically no difference. The same thing what Krishna has spoken to Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, the same thing here you will see in the Bhagavatam also with Uddhava. Uddhavadesham also you will see the same thing. So important thing is that to come to this conclusion that if I have to do anything, if I have to learn in this world, is I have to learn about this body itself first. More than learning about all the other things in this world. We give importance to all the other things, is it not? But Krishna's point is, start with your own body, where the experiment must begin. The research should start from that point. So, and in order to do that, what is required? Vicharam, thoughtful nature is necessary for that. So, so therefore Krishna starts this chapter with the body, with the body. We are thinking that we know about this body, isn't it? All of us think about this body like that. Oh, I know about myself. We say like that. Or we say, oh well, the doctors know about this. To be honest about that, nobody understands this body. Nobody understands this thing called body. Body is something which we think we understand. But where we have no idea about what this body is. And it is an amazing phenomenon, is this body. Albhuda Pratibhasam, they call it in the Shastra. Amazing phenomenon is this body. And therefore, so you can see here also, when the body die, you cut it off and take out piece by piece. Cut open your stomach, take out your liver, take out your intestines and take out everything from inside. And in a similar way, what the scientists have done, they have cut open the body of different dead bodies. And after cutting it open, they started calling different names for the different parts in this body. Isn't it? That's what they do in the anatomy. Anatomy, that's what anatomy is all about. To tell you about, they are given a name to it. So many names they have given. Whole body is completely cut into pieces, and different parts have been given different names, and they have been telling us that this is everything they know about it. Isn't it? So, and they will give all, and I'll give you an impression that they know about the body, don't they? When you go to these universities and all that, or sometimes in hospitals also, they will present the body to you. We know everything about your body. We know about it. That's the impression they give it to you. At least they give that impression to you, because Krishna is concerned. This body is only a body as long as Krishna is inside that body. Otherwise, it's not even called body. As long as Krishna is inside, it is body. The moment Krishna leaves the body, it is like a dead matter, like anything else in this world. There you can see the problem. That science is telling us that they know everything about the body. Yes, they know all the parts what they have given the name to. Krishna is saying, only when I am inside there, it has any value. Once I leave that body has no value at all. As far as Shastram is concerned, it has no value. It's finished. It is jadam. They call it as, that is why it's called jadam. Jadam means dead matter, isn't it? In other words, it is jadam at that time. It is not called anymore body. In Shastram, they don't call it as shariram. It is called jadam. Once a person is dead, and then Krishna's soul has left the body, then it is called jadam. It's never called shariram anymore. It is only called shariram when Krishna is inside that person. So, all that experiments what they do with this dead matter, which is jadam, because of this, that it will never become perfect. Perfection is not possible. You can see medical science, they have grown so big, no doubt. And amount of money every country is spending on the medical profession, medical hospitals and research and all is phenomenal today, isn't it? And huge multinational corporations, they invest in that, in this research, like this become like Glaxo and so many others, is it not? So as far as investment into research is concerned, manpower and energy that is spent in researching this thing called the body has increased considerably over the last maybe 40-50 years. So much research and so much the research work going in that direction. How can you say that they have understood the body? Till now they don't know about this body. Well, the reason Krishna is saying there, all your experiments are keeping the Chaitanyam away. Chaitanyam is not there. And you can't do experiment with Chaitanyam. You can do experiments with Jadam, but you can't do experiments with Chaitanyam. And it is only a body when Chaitanyam is present inside. Only then it is a body. Chaitanyam leaves means that body is Jadam. And therefore, whatever experiments or research work you are doing with that Jadam will never become perfect. Because inside every body, the Chaitanyam makes the decisions, many things. When you have to get cured from illness, whether to get cured from illness, whether you should get sick, whether you should get old, whether you should stay young, all these decisions are taken by the Antaryami inside. Science is completely ignoring the presence of Antaryami there and conducting the research with this dead matter called Jadam, and they are coming up with some conclusions. Are they not? And it is based on those conclusions that they are saying it is possible like this, possible like that. So many diseases is still nowhere near to any solution to the problem. Isn't it? Many, many wealthy people with some large amount of money, they are leaving this world in sickness and death. They are lying. Are they not? What the money can help? Where can the money help? Where is the answer to that question? There is no answer. It's not possible. That is why when you don't take Krishna's word seriously and you start making your own research, this is where Shastram comes. Shastram is, Rishis are telling us there is no point in doing all these things when we know that they have gone through this phase already in their experiments. And that's what we're saying here, that none of their experiments will come to any conclusions. So, because there is no Chaitanyam inside, there is no living force inside, so, what is left behind is the person while he was living, what he has used and what he has left behind here, that's what you have got. And that's what you are doing experiment with. some things, what he has left behind. He has left a body behind, and that body also is practically worn out. And then somebody says, give me your eyes, give me your liver, give me your this, give me that. We break it up and hand it over to somebody. We think we have done a good job, isn't it? So in reality, Krishna's point is that if the body what you are experimenting with, if the Chaitanyam has left that body, then you can see here that this body itself is, when the Chaitanyam is present inside, is the most valuable thing. And when Chaitanyam has left the body, is an absolutely useless thing. It's absolutely useless thing. So that is why Krishna says here in this chapter itself that keeping this body as the main, shariram as the main thing, that science goes from the body externally. From the body it goes in detail. But spiritual life from body inward. The journey is inward in spiritual life, in material life, in science, the body from inside outwardly. That is the difference. That is the difference. So in other words, you can see that my body and this world makes the physical science. Body, because I am keeping this body as a part of this world, which is true because it's come from the Prakriti. So the body and this world outside combined together is the physical science. And my body and the inner world is the spiritual life. See, body is in between the two, the world and my inner life. Inner life means self-realization, adhyatmam, spiritual life. Between spiritual life and worldly life, between in the middle of that stands this body. If you take the body and the world together, and that is what is the physical science, physical life, or what do they call it as the physical science, that is this world and the body together. If you take this body towards the soul, if you start your journey inward looking, then that is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. Both start from the body, either this direction or the other direction. So when you go, that you see in the Bhagavatam how wonderfully they have put it. When you start going from the body towards the world, you will fall into the grip of time. Is it not? Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam. Remember that verse? Remember? Where was it? 10th canto, 1st chapter. Parikshit says this. Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam. Andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. Maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. He says there, isn't it? Yeah, Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam. Andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. Prayachato mrutyamrutamrutam cha. Maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. If you go from the body towards the world, which is physical science, mrityu will take control of you. Death will take control of you. Andarbahi purusha kala rupai. Krishna is present outside, Krishna is present inside. Inside as well as outside. Prayachado mrityu mudamrutam cha. If you go outward, it is mrityu, death. If you go inward, it is amrutam, nectar. That is what that verse is so important. Remember this, we discussed this verse in detail when we spoke that 10th canto. Because Shuga Brahmarshi did not accept any other word from Parikshit. Parikshit told, because he asked, why do you want to hear about Krishna? So he gave certain reasons there. That is what in the previous verses. Nivrtta Tarshay Rubhagiyamanam Bhava Aushadhi Chotram Anobhiramad Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanivadad Puman Mirajyada Vina Pashugnan. Then he said that Pidamahame Samare Amaranjayer Deva Pradadhyadiravai Stimingale. He says that about his relationship with Bhishma and Drona and many other personalities, and he said that they are all defeated by Duratayam Kaurava Saina Sagaram Krutvadan Valsavadam Yasmayatplava. How come Pandavas could defeat them, he said, without Krishna's help? Shuka Brahmarshi said, no, that is not important as far as Shuka Brahmarshi is concerned. So many kings in this world, he said, who has come and defeated others. What is so great about that? Then he said, Dravnyastra vipluṣṭamidam madangam sandāna bījam guru pāndavānam jugoba kuṣṣim gadam atacakro madushyameya sharanam gadāyāha. That is another second thing, he said. First he talked about the Mahabharata war, where Kauravas were completely supported by Krishna and how they won the war. But Shuka Brahmarshi says, no, that's not so big thing. Then he said, Dravnyastra vipluṣṭamidam madangam sandāna bījam kuru pāndavānam. Ashwathama entered into the womb of, sent the Brahmastram and tried to kill Parikshit in the womb of Uttaradevi. And jugoba kuchimgada mata chakro, Krishna went inside, cutting the stomach of Uttaradevi, got inside with the wheel in the hand. Madushyameya sharanam gadayaha, and protected my mother, and therefore I am living. That is why I want to hear about Krishna. Shuka Brahmarshi says, no, even that is not important. See, Shuka Brahmarshi is taking us to this point. What is that? Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi prayachado murtimurda amrdam cha maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. That is the answer he wanted to hear from Parikshit. Only after that he agreed to talk the 10th canto, agreed to speak about Krishna. Because as far as Shuka Brahmarshi is concerned, this protecting a body or winning a war is not important. They are not important. final solution to the all problems is this last verse. Viryani tasya akhila dehabajam andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. Inside and outside, as time personified, he is in, is always in action. Andarbahi, inside is purusha, outside is kalam. If you fall into the grip of time and the world, or if you fall into the grip of the body and the world, you fall into the grip of time. If you fall into the grip of the body and the inner life, spiritual life, you have fallen into the grip of purusha. Andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. Then prayachado mrityu mridam cha. If it goes outside with the body and the world, it is mrityu. If you go inwards with the body and the soul, is amrutam. See how the very clear distinction there. Prayachado mrityu mridam cha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. Maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. That maya manushya, Krishna has position to understand properly. When he answered that, then Shiva Brahmarshi wanted to talk the 10th canto. Otherwise he wasn't willing to talk the 10th canto to Parikshit. So here you can see here that the spiritual life and material life both starts with the body. If you want to go in the material life, you have to have the body first, isn't it? And if you want the spiritual life also, you want to start with the body. But so if you go from body towards the world, you will get into the grip of the time. Get into the grip of time. And if you go from the body inwards, then you will go into the embracing Krishna. Krishna will embrace you inside. That's what happens in Sushupti. Is it not? What more proof do you want? In deep sleep state, what happens? The body is gone. Mind is gone. Intelligence is gone. And you are gone and touched Krishna inside. That's why due to that avaranam, you don't know whom you have touched when you come out in the morning. But you, all, everybody, till now, no one has said that after having a deep sleep, it was a bad time. Isn't it? Anyone who had a good deep sleep will definitely vouch for that. We all like it. In 2 days, if you don't get it, third day you will get. You will see, even if you give £1,000,000, you say, no, I want to have a good sleep, you will say. Why? Because that is the only reality, that Sushupti state, what you have experienced that. That's what Krishna is saying here. Maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. That Krishna, when you go to Krishna, to the inner life, to the spirits, to the Krishna's presence inside, if the journey starts from the body and towards that inner life, towards Krishna, as you experience in the Sushupti state, it is that journey that what we are doing in Sushupti. Is it not? Exactly, that's what's happening. But it is happening under nature's arrangement, not in a consciously. Unconsciously it's happening. Nature is arranged like that to teach us that. But if you are able to do that consciously, that is spiritual life and self-realization. That's all it is. So Parikshit is saying here that you will be embraced by, it will be embraced by Krishna. So if you look outside through the body, you are under the grip of Yama Dharma Raja. Yama's people will come and take control of you. So, and if you look inwards, outside it is Yama, inside it is Krishna. That's how it is. Outside it is Yama. If you want to go Yama's control, you can go in that route, but inside it is Krishna. So, because it is like that, then inside or outside, you are going to be embraced. Outside you will be embraced by Yamadharma Raja. Inside you will be embraced by Krishna. Either way, it is going to happen. So normally when you look at the temples, I'm talking about temples which were built according to Shastram in the ancient times, the deity is always inside of everything, isn't it? Temple sanctum, sanctorum, what they call as the temple room or deity room. Inside that, the most protected part of the temple is the deity. It is based on this principle that the temple was created, based on the body. Body has got so many layers of coverage, isn't it? So you have the external walls, and then there is another internal circle, and right further inward, if you go inside, there is final, the most protected part of the temple is the deity room, where the Krishna is present there. Similarly, Krishna's presence inside the body also is in the same way. So most protected part. So there, that is where we go to see in the temple, isn't it? When you go into the temple, what do you want to see first? You want to see the deities, is it not? That's where we believe Krishna is present in the deity. So we go and see the deity first, more than anything else. But nowadays it's different. People come, they'll say, oh, what's happening here? What's happening there? Very nosy about various things, what goes on in the temple. They will inquire like this, and this was, what was this room, what was that? And there are so many things. So traditionally, those who have proper understanding, they will go to the deities first, pay their respects to the deities, because deity is the most important personality in the temple. Deity is presence there, isn't it? So, so even when we see, you can see sometimes in the temple, they are in front of the deity, but they'll be looking at everybody else. What others are doing, what clothes are they wearing, and how their tilak is perfect or not, or things like that. Attention will go in, because some people, they look at the deity and they're not feeling anything. So naturally their attention will fall others, other people who are standing there, some Maharajas or Maharanis, whoever is present, they'll look at there, that way. So, or sometimes they will look at the pujari. Is he doing the job properly? That also people do sometimes. So pujari, sometimes pujari is doing, and that he's looking at his own family members, whether they are there or not. So all sorts of things you see, funny things in the temple like that. So, but the thing is that, important thing is that, we are going there to see the deities, to see Krishna there. If it is like that, it is okay. If it is like that, it is okay. Otherwise, it's not okay. So, it is based on this, the first verse in this chapter begins. Let's look at that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, sorry, Arjuna, now, some more, something more. In Bhagavad Gita, there is totally how many verses? 700. But in some Bhagavad Gita, there is 701 verse, one extra verse. It is that extra verse is this first verse in this chapter. So Prabhupada has taken that verse into account. Many acharyas have not taken that verse into account, this first verse. Which one? Arjuna Vacha Pragatim, the first verse. So we'll go through that verse, because it is very difficult to say which one is correct. Both are correct, because it is answer to this question from Arjuna that the reply comes from the from Krishna. Krishna is answering that question. So we'll start with that verse first. But in the commentaries by great acharyas, they have not taken that verse into account. Yeah. Yeah, the first one. The first one, yeah. So that verse, idam shariram kaundeya. We'll look at that verse. Arjuna uvacham prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetrajnam eva cha etad veditum icchami jnanam jneyam cha keshava. Arjuna uvacham prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetrajnam eva cha etad veditum icchami jnanam jneyam cha keshava. Arjuna said, O my dear Krishna, I wish to know about prakriti, nature, purusha, the enjoyer, and the field, and the knower of the field, and of knowledge, and the end of knowledge. That is that first verse, isn't it? My dear Krishna, I wish to know about prakriti, nature, purusha, the enjoyer, and the field, and the knower of the field, and of knowledge, and the end of knowledge. That's it. Prakritim purusham jaiva kshetram kshetrajnam eva cha edad veditum icchami jnanam jneyam cha keshava. So, Arjuna says, prakriti, purushan, kshetram, kshetrajnam, jnanam, jneyam. All these things. Prakriti, purushan, kshetram, kshetrajnam, jnanam, jneyam. I want to know about all of them. The In this connection, if you have to look back into Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, what happened? 7th chapter and the 13th chapter is very closely connected. In Saptamaya Adhyaya, in the 7th chapter, Sujite Dve Prakriti Ishwarasya Trigunalmiyam Ashradha Bhinnam Apara Samsara Heditvat Paraja Anya Jivabhudam Kshetrajna Lakshanam Ishwaralmiyam. In the 7th chapter, in the 4th and the 5th verse, if you look in the 7th chapter, this topic was already discussed. Remember? In the 7th chapter, if you look, you will see the 4th and 5th verses. Bhumi rapanalo vayu khammano buddhi revacha ahangaram idiyame bhina prakriti ashtada. And the next verse, aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yeyedam daryate jagat. So, prakriti purusha was discussed in the 7th chapter earlier. And the same thing Arjuna is asking, I want to know about it. Although what he has heard before. So, there in the 7th chapter, when Krishna discussed this, he spoke about prakriti in two different ways. Is it not? Para prakriti and apara prakriti. He spoke about that. And out of that, the apara prakriti, Krishna mentions there, is the cause of material existence. Is it not? Apara prakriti. What is apara prakriti? 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. 5 plus 3, 8. Ashtavidha prakriti it is called. Ashtadha prakriti. Another way it is called. Ashtadha prakriti. The 8 elements prakriti. Prakriti with 8 elements. That is Ashtadha prakriti. That Ashtadha prakriti is the cause of our material existence, material body. And because it is the cause of material body and it is the cause of our material existence, Krishna called it as apara prakriti. And the other one is para prakriti, which is connected with Krishna. Which is connected with Krishna, isn't it? Para. That's why he said, Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. He says that para prakriti, jiva bhudam. That means Krishna inside. Mahabaho yedam dharyade jagat. That para prakriti belongs to Krishna. Apara prakriti belongs to the material elements, belongs to apara prakriti, is different. So that difference Krishna has pointed out in the 7th chapter. Like that as para prakriti and apara prakriti. Still Arjuna asked this question here. So yabhyam prakriti bhyam ishvaro jagadut pat ulpatti sthiti laya heditvam pratipadyade tatra kshetra kshetrajna lakshanam prakriti dvaya nirupana dvarena tadvada ishvarasya tattva nirdharanartham kshetra adhyayam arambhyate. So in these two bhavam, two form, apara prakriti and para prakriti, Ishvara, so controller, Krishna is the controller, is Ishvara. He becomes responsible for the creation, sustenance and dissolution. Ulpatti, sthiti, layam. These three things happen due to these two different nature, para prakriti and apara prakriti. Apara prakriti is created, you have to remember that. Para prakriti is not created. Apara prakriti is created. That means mind, intelligence, ego, earth, water, air, ether and fire, all these are created things, isn't it? So, in order to explain about Krishna's position as the supreme controller, Ishvara, one has to expand on that. In this chapter, it is presented in a different way as Kshetram and Kshetrajna, in a different way. There, it is based on that creation process, it's spoken that these two exist. But there, it was not spoken very clearly about Krishna's position in that chapter, in that 7th chapter. Whereas here, what you will now see is that Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti, two things exist, which here we call it as Prakriti and Purusha. Paraprakriti is Purusha. Aparaprakriti is Prakriti. Generally, when you say Prakriti, it's Aparaprakriti. And from Aparaprakriti, we have got this body, mind, intelligence, ego, and all the asat, what we have acquired from Aparaprakriti. From Paraprakriti, we got Krishna. who is present inside as a soul, Atma, inside. So this combination of Paraprakriti and Amparaprakriti is in us. Now, in that seventh chapter, didn't explain that to the extent how it's going to be done here. Here, it will be spoken as Purusha, as Ishvara and Prakriti, not as Prakriti and Paraprakriti. And there it was spoken both as Prakriti, Paraprakriti and Amparaprakriti. Here, it comes as Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha means Ishvara in that aspect. So, that is why Adita Anandara Adhyayecha Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Ityadinam Yavad Adhyaya Virasamapti Tavat Tattva Jnaninam Sanyasinam Nishta Yathade Vartande Iti Edad Uktam Kena Puna Te Tattva Jnanina Yukto Yathoktam Dharmacharanal Bhagavada Priya Bhavandi Iti Eva Martaja Ayam Adhyayam Arambhyade. Krishna says here that in the last chapter, if you remember in the 12th chapter, from that verse, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, that is where the qualities of a devotee is spoken, is it not? You remember? 12th verse, I think it is. 12 to 20, 9 verses. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, it began, that chapter. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, Maitra Karuna Yevacha, so many things spoken about a devotee there. And ultimately, he says that if you look at that 12th chapter, the last verse, what does he say? He says, Yedu dharmyamrtamidam yathoktam paribhasade shraddhadanam alparama bhaktaste divame priya. He closes that chapter saying that this dharmyamrtam means this science of the nectar of science, amrtam, which is relationship with self-realization, yathoktam paribhasade, one who executes upasana based on this, shraddhadanam alparama, he will develop that Shraddha and finally he will surrender to me. The final goal, Bhaktaste Ativame Priyaha. He is very, very dear to me, Krishna says. That he follows this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engages himself with faith, making me the supreme goal, is very, very dear to me. Krishna concludes that chapter in that way in the 12th chapter. So, now, remember this, I mentioned yesterday also, this is not spoken about ordinary devotees. This is spoken about self-realized souls who are executing bhakti at that level. That is who is addressed. In other words, they are fully realized personalities who are engaged in this state. That their state is what is spoken there. Not about the ordinary person who is in the sadhana stage. Not about that one. So, here, their nishtha, their steadiness, how it should be, that is what is spoken. How they will be, that's what is that verses are spoken. So, in order to make that clear to us, what is their state of realization or their state of knowledge? In order to explain that, their tattva-jnanam, their knowledge of the tattvam, and how they have become very dear to Krishna. How they have become very dear to Krishna. That is why this chapter begins in that way. To make that more clearer to us. Because Prakriti cha trigunalmiyam sarva karya karana vishayakarena parinadam purushasya bhoga abhavargartha kartavyadaya dehe indriya adhyakarena samhanyade sa ayam sanghada idam shariram. Because these three modes of material nature, trigunam, they are present there in Prakriti. They are present in the Prakriti, isn't it? Prakriti has got them, three modes of nature. In Krishna, there is no modes of nature. Modes of nature is in the Prakriti. And in the Prakriti, what we have got, karyam, karanam, vishayam. That means the body, the senses, and sense objects. They are in the Prakriti. They are in the Prakriti. Body, senses, and the sense objects. They are in the Prakriti. So, normally, Prakriti is Karyam Karanam Vishayam. And that, when it came to Prakriti, it has come in the form of body, senses and sense objects. Karyam Karanam Vishayam is part of body. Karyam Karanam Vishayam. That is the topic Karyam, Karanam the senses and Vishayam the sense objects. That, when it came into the material nature, it has become the body, the senses and sense objects. Do you know what I'm saying? That when you are only talking about Prakriti, we will say like this, Karyam, Karanam, Vishayam. Three things. Karyam, the subject. Karanam, the activities based on your senses. Karanam is the senses, and Vishayam, the sense objects. Same thing when you translate into Prakriti, it becomes body, senses, and the sense objects. And the sense object. So, in order that this Purusha who has caught up in this Prakriti, we are Purushas, we are caught up in the Prakriti, isn't it? And this Purusha looks for sense enjoyment, bhogam. And Purusha also wants moksha, liberation from this. And he is situated in this state at the moment in the form of body and the senses. And all these things combined together is what we call as the body, shariram. Shariram means that. Generally when we say shariram, we say gross body, isn't it? But it's not like that. Shariram is a combination of all these things. Shiryade iti shariram, that's how they define. That combination of senses, sense objects, and the gross body, everything combined together. Because in order to enjoy senses, just body is not sufficient. You need the mind who enjoys it, isn't it? So you need the mind. Then to execute sense enjoyment properly, you need the intelligence also. So mind, body, intelligence, and then you need the ego for the sense enjoyment. And then you need the senses and the sense objects. All these things combined together is then when you activate the Prakriti. Purusha activates the Prakriti with all these things together. So it is at that time Krishna is replying to that question. Krishna is replying to that question from Arjuna. For this is this one verse what we have read. They are in some Bhagavad Gitas. They are some, if you don't take this into account, there is 700 verses. If you take this verse also into account, if you don't take it, it is 700. If you take this one, it is 701 total verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So we'll have a short break. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha navagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipadam purnamrda swadanam sarvatna savanam param vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Tatrarpida Niyamidas Maranena Kalam Edadrisham Navagraba Bhagavan Mavi Durdeva Midashamihanani Januragaham Tranara Vishuni Jena Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhakti raghai dugi tvai nayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gadgada ruddhaya gira pulager nichidam kadavabu tavan nama grahane bhavishyadi ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva yathatadhava vidhadadhilam vada matprananathastu nayemana parahaam. So, so we've seen Arjuna's question, isn't it? Prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetrajnam eva cha edad veditum icchami jnanam jnayam cha keshavam. All these things Krishna Arjuna has asked in that verse. Answer to that, Krishna is answering that one first question. Shri Bhagavan uvacham idam shariram kaunteyam kshetramityabhidhiyate edad yo vetitam praho kshetrajnam iti tadvidhah. Shri Bhagavan uvacham idam shariram kaunteyam kshetramityabhidhiyate etad yo vetidam praho ക്ഷേത്രജ്ഞമിതി തദ്വിധാഹ. The blessed Lord then said, this body, O son of Kunti, is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. Idam shariram kaundeya kshetramityabhidiyate kshetram edadyo vetidam praho kshetrajnam iditad vidu iditad vidaha. So addressing Arjuna, idam shariram kaundeya, Kunti's son, Krishna calls him Kunti Devi's son. He's in Kaunteya, means Kunti Devi's son. Idam shariram. Idam means what? Idam means what you are seeing now in front of you. What is that? The body. Idam shariram Kaunteya. So, idam means whatever you see in front of you with your eyes, that vastu, it's called idam. That's called idam. That is why. Shariram shiryade idi shariram. Krishna is saying, idam shariram kaundaya. Arjuna, idam, what you are seeing is shariram, body. Shariram shiryade idi shariram. That is the expansion of that word shariram. Shiryade means that one which will get destroyed. That's why it's called shariram. Shiryade. Shiryade means it gets deteriorated and eventually decay and death. The six changes that happens, isn't it? Shat Parinamam it's called. Who said this? It's also there in the Bhagavatam. Prahlada said this. The six things, what happens to the body, Prahlada has spoken, isn't it? Six qualities of the body and 12 qualities of the soul. It is good to study that in the Bhagavatam. So to keep it in our thought, so that you know that we are talking about the body or talking about the soul. So shiryade di shatiram. So what is interesting, continuously it is getting destroyed. Body is constantly in destruction. It's going through, isn't it? So this shariram, idam, which is called idam shariram, kshetram ithya vidiyade, it's called kshetram. This shariram is called kshetram. Kshetram means the field. Remember we mentioned that. Field means where you can grow things. So body, Krishna is looking at the body like that, as a field where you can grow. Grow what? All the vasanas, what we have brought with us from previous life. An opportunity for those things to grow, for the vasanas to grow. If you know enough, that is, idam means, idam, normally our field of experience, anubhava mandalam, it is called, field of experience in two kinds, two states. One is idam and the second one is aham. Aham and idam. Is it not? Do you understand what I'm saying? Idam and aham. What does it mean? Idam means whatever your experiences in the body. You have some experiences in the body also, isn't it? Through body you experience something. Bodily pain, bodily happiness, bodily miseries. And so many things in the plane of the bodily you are experiencing something. That is what is called idam. Aham is the experience of the spirit side inside. That experience that's coming from the anubhavam, coming from the soul. That is aham. Awareness. Consciousness. That's all aham. Idam is what you are experiencing in the body all the time. So idam shariram kaundeya kshetram ithya vidiyate. So this idam shariram is kshetram. Is the field, Krishna says. Field, Krishna says. So, if you give a little attention, you will get this very well, without any difficulty. Everything what is in front of you is idam. My body is idam. My body is idam. The only thing what is outside idam is aham. Do you understand now what I'm saying? Aham is the only thing that is outside idam. Everything else is idam. Is it not? You haven't got it yet. No. Shariram, body is one experience of us. Aham is another experience. Aham is in our spiritual awareness, consciousness, avabhodam is always aham, aham, isn't it? Awareness, I am, I am, I am. And that experience is different from the body. Bodily level you are experiencing something, that is called idam. That means what you see. Idam shariram, Krishna says. Shariram is idam. Aham is another experience altogether. So aham idam, in two plane you are always your experiences, is it not? In two planes you are experiencing everything. For example, everything in the world is idam. Through the idam you are experiencing everything here. No? So idam includes everything that is in the body, in the mind, in the intelligence, ego, everything is idam. But the soul comes, that experience which comes from the soul, anubhavam, or anubhuti that comes from the soul, that is all considered as aham. That is called aham. So Krishna says that aham and idam is our two planes of experience, two levels of experience. So so here Krishna is begin with idam, because of the body. Because with the body Krishna begins the whole discussion. He begins with the body. Idam shariram. Krishna says, this body, idam shariram, kshetram iti abhidhiyade, he says, it's called kshetram. Why is it called kshetram? Because just like if you go into the field and throw some seeds there, rice or wheat or whatever, after some time they will come out from the field, isn't it? Plants will come out, and what will happen? Fruits will come out from that. The grains will come, for example. Rice will be grown, and the rice will produce from that field. Similarly, Krishna says here that in this body, I have thrown a lot of seeds inside this body. And which are those seeds? Those seeds which are fructified from previous life. In previous life, I have created a lot of vasanas. And that vasanas are now ready to come out in me. Remember we talked about this vasanas before. Vasanas is a very interesting topic, how vasanas gets in. Initially, it starts as a chitta vritti. That suppose you have developed a certain attachment to one person or an object or whatever it is. First, a thought comes, a thought wave about that person or about an object. It comes as a thought wave and it goes. But suppose that thought wave kept coming again many times, that line gets much more thicker inside. It is only a line in the beginning, but when it becomes thicker, it is called samskaram. It's called samskaram. So first thing is chittavritti, and then it becomes a samskaram. If that samskaram becomes strong in a person, it becomes vasana. If up to the point of samskaram, you can control it. Once you have become vasana, it has to get through. You have to have it. You have no freedom there. Once it has turned out to be a vasana, then vasana will dictate to you what to do. From inside, vasana will tell you what to do. You won't be able to do anything with the vasana. This is the power of that thing called vasana. So in three levels it is, from chittavritti to samskaram to vasana. So generally we say, in the chittavritti stage, if you can wipe it out from inside, you can escape. When a bad thought comes, or attachment comes, aversion comes, hate comes, envy comes, if at that stage itself, if you manage to clear it up from inside, you can free yourself from that problem. Suppose you have hated someone and the hate kept on building up throughout life. You hated someone and finally you left this body. By then, if it has become a vasana inside, you got to settle the account later on, next life, come back here and go through the whole thing. There is no way of escape route in those things. This is how powerful these things are. The rishis who knows about it, whole Bhagavadam and all is trying to tell us this thing. Be careful. Beware of this vasana inside. What vasana we create. And this vasana has got two sides to it. Shubha vasana and ashubha vasana. Auspicious vasana and inauspicious vasana. And that is what Uti, it is. Remember the seventh canto of Bhagavadam is called Uti. Uti means karma vasana. That is what it means, Uti. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam udaya manandaram ishanukatha nirodho mukti rashraya. There's a verse in the second canto which tells what is each canto represent. Third canto is sargam, fourth canto is sargam. Sargam, visargam, poshanam, fifth canto. ദെൻ സ്ഥാനം സത്വസർഗോ വിസർഗശ്ച സ്ഥാനം സ്ഥാനം ഈസ് ഫോർത്ത് കാൻറ്റോ ഫിഫ്ത് കാൻറ്റോ പോഷണം ഈസ് ദ സിക്സ് കാൻറ്റോ ആൻഡ് ദ സിക്സ് കാൻറ്റോ ഈസ് ഊതി ഊതി മീൻസ് കർമ്മവാസന കർമ്മവാസന ടു ഷോ ദി പവർ ഓഫ് വാസന ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് കാൻറ്റോ വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ വിച്ച് വൺ പ്രഹ്ലാദാസ് ആൻഡ് ഹിരണ്യകശിപു സ്റ്റോറി ടു ഷോ ദ പവർ ഓഫ് വാസന പ്രഹ്ലാദ കൾട്ടിവേറ്റഡ് ഓസ്പീഷ്യസ് വാസന ദി റിസൾട്ട് വാസ് ദാറ്റ് പ്രഹ്ലാദ കുഡ് നെവർ ഡു എ റോങ് തിങ് ഓൾവേസ് സ്റ്റേഡ് ഇൻ കൃഷ്ണ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ഹിരണ്യകശിപു ഡ്യൂ ടു ഹിസ് കൾട്ടിവേഷൻ ഓഫ് ഇനോസ്പീഷ്യസ് വാസനസ് ഹി ഹാസ് ദി ഇഫക്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് യു കുഡ് സീ ഇൻ ഹിരണ്യകശിപു വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻ സോ ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദ വാസന വൺസ് ദ വാസന ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബിക്കം വാസന ചിത്തവൃത്തി ഈസ് ഇൻ ദ ഏർലി സ്റ്റേജ് വെൻ ഇറ്റ് ബിഗിൻസ് ബട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ചിത്തവൃത്തി വെൻ ഇറ്റ് ഗെറ്റ് സ്ട്രോങ്ങർ ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ബിക്കം എ സംസ്കാരം ഇൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ സംടൈംസ് വി സേ അബൌട്ട് സം പീപ്പിൾ ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ് His nature is like that. That means his samskaram is like that. We can't do anything about it, we say. It has come to the samskaram stage. Even samskaram you can change, but vasana you can't change. Once the samskaram stage, at least if you manage to free yourself from that samskaram, then it is possible you can escape. But if it has developed into a vasana, then it is like a flavor. It has got life. Vasana has got life in it. So that means you have to go through it. There is no other way. Samskaram stage, it is not life. Still there is no life. But vasana stage, there is life in that. So Krishna is saying here that we have planted a lot of things in this field, in this body. What is the seeds? Seeds are these vasanas, what we have brought with us from the previous life. Those vasanas are the seeds. And those seeds we have thrown into this body, which is the field. And the field is ready now to make those vasanas, to give birth to those vasanas, to go through its process. So, these, when do they become vasana? Because in several lifetimes we have acquired several vasanas. Some of them are ready for fructification, to fructify. And when they are ready, they require the field. At that time is when they require the field. So depending on the vasana, the body is decided. You see? Body is decided depending on the vasanas inside. It is the same thing saying the time of death, what you think about. We say like this, isn't it? What will you think about at the time of death? Your vasanas. That is what will dictate your thoughts at the time of death. So in other words, even at the time of death, when you are leaving this body, that vasanas will, very powerful vasana, what you have inside, will come on the top of everything else. There are so many vasanas, not one, hundreds and thousands sometimes. But out of, some of them will be very powerful. The most powerful one will come on the top at the time of death. And it is that vasana that has to first get exhausted. They are in the queue, they are standing in a queue, one behind the other. So many big, powerful vasanas are inside us. So the most powerful one will be in the front of the queue. And he gets the priority. First come, first serve basis. That's it. He's the first one in the... So he decides the body. He decides the next body. Because he's vasana. That vasana first has to be exhausted. So it is possible in one lifetime, few vasanas may get exhausted, the first few ones. And then the others are not ready yet. The other vasanas are not ready yet. That is what Krishna is saying here. So all those vasanas, they have fructified now and they have come up and they are, vasanas have come and we have come to do the harvesting now. It has to grow in us, the vasanas has to grow in us and that vasanas will start its work and will start bringing its results and we have come to do that harvesting business of the results what we have going to get from this field, from this field called body. And that is a reaction of our karma, what comes to us, isn't it? Generally, everything is very clearly set up. Perfection it is there, how the system works. It's no possible to change it. And in order to experience that, this body, what is present here, all our experience is hiding inside. It's only given time, it's going to come out. Strictly speaking, what is going to happen to us, it's possible to say, based on the person's vasana, what the results will be from that. So you can see here those who are about, say, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old people. If you ask them, you can see, you think about your own childhood when you were children, 8 or 9 or 10 years old. At that time, little bit of our intelligence has started becoming clearer. In other words, when you're a little child, you don't know anything. You're just doing what you're told to do. But about 9, 10, you start becoming a little bit more sensible, isn't it? Did you know that at that time, what is all going to happen in life? Nobody knew. Till now, no one has said. We will say, oh, I plan my life this way, that. You plan one thing and something else happens in life, isn't it? So nothing is actually, we think we are planning. What planning can you do? Everything is controlled from inside based on this. That I had no indication that this is all what is going to happen in my life. Never had any idea. And no knowledge also. And and if I knew all this, I could have done something about it. I could have done. And I should have done this. And I had no idea what was all. Something is taking you, you're going along with it. Whatever that comes on the way, you pick up here something, pick up there something, leave something here, leave something there. That way life goes on, isn't it? So sometimes you can see yourself in some particular situation, how you will behave yourself, even that you don't know. Do you? In some instances you can see how it happens in our own situation. How you are going to react to a particular situation, you don't know. Because situation spontaneously it comes and you react immediately. And then after many hours on reflection, you may find that, oh, I should have done like this, I shouldn't like this. But that's another thing. But the situation, the reality is like this, that I cannot predict myself how things will happen in life. Because that behavior spontaneously, how I'll behave, depends on the seed what I have inside. The seed what I have sown inside, that will dictate my behavior at that stage. That will show to us very clearly that how dependent we are. We are not independent in all these things, isn't it? If I have very strong vasanas, you remember in the Bhagavadam, in that sixth canto, when Ajamila called Narayana name, and Shukha Brahmarshi says, that how did he manage to call? Because his life was a disaster, wasn't it? He left home, gave up his family life, and threw his parents into great distress, and finally came out and married that prostitute and had children from her. And it was a completely degraded life what he led. In spite of that, he was able to call this name Narayana at the time of death. He says, Vasana Balal Juhava Narayana Namagam Sutam Vasana Balal. That Vasana inside. What made Ajamila to give the name Narayana to his son? You wouldn't expect that name to come from a person like that, in that state, isn't it? So there is a thing called Vasana working from inside. In spite of everything what has gone wrong in his life, still there was some good Vasana in that person. That prompted him to give this name to his son. Who? Ajamila. What prompted him to... That shows the power of vasana. If the vasana was not there, he would not have given the name to his son. That is a good vasana. To think about his son and to give a name to his son as Krishna's name. That's Krishna's name. So that is the way vasana work. Even though he was living a very debauched life and had no Krishna consciousness and completely lifestyle which was not at all admirable in any way, in spite of all that, something prompted from within to give his son a name called Narayana. And that was a symptom of that. He had that good vasana inside to do that. So the vasana's power cannot be written off. It's always there in every one of us. And it is based on this vasana that you are reacting to situations all the time. All the time in life. Because we don't know how we will react to different situations. We just say yes, this way or that way, whatever we like. If I like it, I'll take it. If I don't like it, I'll say, leave it. So this situation is, it's not very much thought about. You can't do anything about it. The vasana controls everything to that extent. So you can see here that even our behavior in this world is very much dependent on that seed inside, which is the vasana inside. So accordingly, I will get angry, or I'll become lusty, or I'll become envious, or I'll become happy. All these things is on the based on the seeds, what I have inside. All of them are very old seeds, ready for germination. The seeds also, after a certain time, they want to come out, isn't it? So you can see sometimes farmers keep the seeds for a long time, and they say when it's ready, they know when the seeds should go to the field. So same way. So now and then, the seeds will, sometimes you'll see that when you moong dal and all that, when you sprout them, suddenly the white thing comes out from inside. Isn't it? So many things like that, dal, everything like that. So it sprouts, it comes out. One small growth from inside, it comes out. So, and inside, all of us, all these seeds are ready to come out. All these seeds are ready to come out. So practically you can see, this body is considered to be like a field. Like a rice field or a wheat field or whatever it is. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Kshetram I Shariram. Kshetram I Shariram. Idam Shariram Kaundaya Kshetram I Tyapidiyade. Shariram is Kshetram. Ready to receive these seeds and ready to germination to happen. That is the body situation. This is how Krishna sees this body. Krishna sees this body purely as a field meant for different vasanas inside, for them to sprout and to get them growing, the plant to grow inside. So therefore this shariram is called idam padartham. Idam, he says here. So I am something I can see, isn't it? This body I can see, svastu, which I can see. And inside me, there is someone who is seeing. Actually, I am that seer. Body is the seen. Body is the seen thing. Body has no experience of me. This is interesting. In the Vedam, Upanishad's point of view, rishis are telling us, this connection between the body and the soul is a very important one. As much as we get released from the body, we will start understanding that separated existence as the soul. It will become more in our consciousness. We'll become more aware of that we are separate from the body. That understanding will come. So, so Krishna says, situated inside this body, while situated inside the body, Krishna says, idam shariram kaunteya edadyo vetidam prahu. See that third line, what Krishna says. Edadyo vetidam prahu. So, situated within this body, situated within this body, one who knows this field. Means what? Self-realization. If you have properly understood, all of us I'm saying, about ourselves properly, what will happen? We will know what this body is. As much as you come to know about the soul, about your identity as the soul, at the same time, you will know about the kshetram. That is why it says, edad yo veti, edad yo vetidam praho, kshetrajna idi tad vidaha. He says, Kshetrajnam iti tad vidaha. So, the person who knows this idam, which is called aham, the rishis are saying to us, he is called Kshetrajnam. Kshetram, Kshetrajnam. Kshetram is the field. Kshetrajnam is the one who knows the field. Like the farmer. Farmer knows everything what's going on in the field. Is it not? For the farmer knows, is supposed to know, in other words. Good farmers, they know their field very well. What to grow, what not to grow, and what should be cultivated, what is the best crop. So many things they know. Farmer knows the psychology behind the agriculture, isn't it? So just like a farmer knows his field, Kshetrajnan knows the Kshetram well. He can deal with the Kshetram in the right way because he knows for Kshetram these things are bad, so I should not have them. These things are good, he will take it for the Kshetram. But exactly like a farmer uses the field, Kshetrajnan will use the Kshetram in the right way. And the one who knows the Kshetram is called Kshetrajna. He is called Kshetrajna here. So here, Kshetrajna Rishi says, so do not try to understand like physics and chemistry the subject. Remember I mentioned this yesterday also. Like we say two particles of hydrogen and one particle of oxygen is water and all H2O, what we say is in science and chemistry and all that. So if you do not understand it that way, it will help. Because look into yourself, your own body, and you will notice here that Krishna is talking about us now. Do not think body is separate from me. No, Krishna is trying to tell us to look into ourselves, our own body, and see this, what is happening. Don't study the way science you study. Because science, when you study, you're talking separately outside you, you're discussing it. Isn't it? Scientists don't look into his own body and study. He looks into everybody else's body and study about that, or experiments on others and things like that. Doesn't matter. But what important thing is that here, if you look into your own body and carry this understanding within yourself, then this will help at the end. That's what he's saying here, that Krishna is talking about us. Like to Arjuna, he says to you, idam shariram kaundeya kshetram, because that's why he used the word kaundeya. Arjuna, look into your own body, it's called kshetram, and you have come with this. And in this kshetram, so many experiences have come to us. We have so many experiences here, isn't it? And at different times in life, different experiences comes out in this body. In you can observe your own body, better not to look into others' body, to look into one's own body, how our vasanas came out at different times. Why? When you were a child, what was the main vasana inside? To play. Then, and whatever you are offered, you are not interested, you just want to play. That's childhood, isn't it? Childhood is nothing but playing. Balastaval krida sakta. Simple thing. Why? That krida vasana, krida sakta, that vasana was strong inside, so it manifested at its time when it was ready. It came out. What is the next one? Tarunastaval taruni sakta. As soon as the youth came, automatically you gave up all that playing business, then looking for sense gratification with another person in the bodily level. Tarunastaval taruni sakta, attraction to the opposite sex, that came. Was it pre-arranged? The vasanas were there inside. Nothing was to be arranged. Nobody had to tell anyone that you have to to look for the sense gratification. Without anyone, nobody has to. You didn't have to go to university for that. It comes automatically at the time. Vasana inside. Tarunastaval taruni sakta. So similarly, all other minor vasanas, these are major vasanas. Minor vasanas like recognition in the world and followers, money, other kinds of sense gratification, they are all inside us. That is why Dakshinamurti Swatram will say, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari. The world comes from inside. What is inside you, that is your world. That dictates your world. The world is not outside, the world is inside. Your world is different from my world, it's different from somebody else's world. Why? Although we are all living in the same world. My world is my vasanas, your world will be your vasanas. You can't change that easily. So it is based on that, Krishna is saying here, that Kshetrajnan who is inside, that the some of your experiences, it comes in the form of action. Some of the vasanas, it will come out in the form of action. Some other vasanas, its after effect comes. Have you noticed that? Some vasanas will come out in the form of action. You will react in the form of action. Some vasanas, what you have created, it will have its after effect in you, which you can notice sometimes. For example, some people you will see, they're very depressed always. A lot of depression in their life.
Why is that? That depressing vasana has inside. And that is coming out now and then. They are living in the same world we are all doing. And we all have the similar distress in life. But how is that? Some person feels more distressed. Because reason is this, that some vasana inside is causing this problem to be depressed always. And then accordingly his life will also go in that direction. Tamogunam will overpower him, influence him in some bad way, and he will get easily controlled by that tamogunam nature, and depression will disturb him. And whereas there are some other people who, because of the strength of the sattugunam inside, and there is some sattva vasana inside, sattugunam vasanas related to sattugunam, therefore they do not get too disturbed in certain situations. Sometimes Ishwarachandra Vidyasagar, there is a story about him, very nice story. Vidyasagar lived a little before Prabhupada's time in Calcutta, and he used to say that one Vidyasagar was so advanced spiritually that a lot of distress came in his life, but he was not disturbed over it. Distress was there, but he was not disturbed over it. In one instance, he had some social activity with some others, and they had come for a meeting. His son was dead, and the dead body was in the next room. But still, when the meeting was over, he told them that, "My son is dead, he is in the next room, I have to go and attend to it." So much presence of mind. Normally in a situation like that, people will be very disturbed over it, isn't it? But he wasn't. He was still having that calmness inside. So according to the sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, our vasanas will come out, and whichever way it comes, it will come out as an after effect in us. In some form, it will manifest in us. And I may react according to that, how the vasana comes out from me. So like that, there are so many things happening in this field called the body, isn't it? So there is someone inside this body who is observing all these things, what is going on in this field, and that person who is giving, completely observing everything and has total knowledge of everything, what is going on inside, he is called Kshetrajnan. That is how the name given to him. So Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. Kshetram is the field which we have seen what happens in the Kshetram, the field for vasanas to grow, vasanas to germinate and to mature and to exhaust themselves. So field is for growing the vasanas, and the farmer inside who observes everything what is going on, keeping an eye on the field what is going on, and who inside controls everything is Kshetrajnan. Is Kshetrajnan inside. So this one who knows the Kshetram is called Kshetrajna. That Nyaha, Kshetrajna. That Nyaha means one who knows. That's the word means. That Nyaha means one who knows. So there you'll see that Kshetrajna. So we know about our gross body, isn't it? Gross body, we have some idea what happens here. Actually, gross body is what you have better knowledge than the subtle body and the causal body. In the deeper level, when it's spoken in the Upanishads, it's not only gross body and subtle body, there is also the Karana Shariram. They call it as causal body. So actually, out of the three, the one body that you have more knowledge than the other two is this gross body. Is it not? Even this gross body we don't know enough, do we? How much do we know about this body? As I mentioned before. But we say that we know about it. Anyway, we'll accept it that way. We know about this body. So, but this body is not there when you go into the dream state. Is it not? In dream state, your identification is not with the gross body. It is with the dream body. It is called dream body. Or in other words, it is called Sushma Shariram. Sushmam. It is Sushmam. It is very Sushmam it is. More subtle than this gross one. This is the gross one.
subtle than this is the other one. Now, normally when we say to people, I got my body, I got my mind, like the way we will say to people, that means in our mind or in our thought process, we take body as the gross body as the important one. The mind inside, we have given a secondary position to it. Because we are thinking, because I got a gross body, therefore I got a subtle body. That's how we think about it. But on the other hand, in reality, because you have got a subtle body, you have got a gross body. It's opposite way it is. Isn't it? So from subtle body came the gross body, not from the gross body came the subtle body. It's the opposite way. The birth of the gross body is from the subtle body. So, just like in the dream state, you are in that subtle body. Or when you are very excited, emotional, at that time also you are in the subtle body. You are not in the gross body at that time. Because you can see at that time yourself if you observe. Krishna is asking us to observe ourselves. Krishna is saying to us, you look at yourself when you get angry. That time you don't think about your own body so much. You think about your sushma shariram. In that subtle body you are operating at that time. And that is your subtle body. And then in the deep sleep state, when you have no contact with the gross body, no contact with the subtle body either, you go without any dreams, you had a good sleep, and when you come out, what do you say? I had such a good sleep and I had no dreams even, you say. Without any dreams I slept, you say like that, isn't it? That without any dreams I slept, and an experience in that deep sleep is like this, as though you had a nice blanket to cover. You remember in the cold weather, suppose you had a very good blanket or a quilt to cover, and how you feel inside that quilt. From the cold weather you came out from outside, and you came home and you got into the bed and you're ready to sleep, and the room is warm, the quilt is there, and you get inside. How do you feel? That feeling. That feeling is that what is in the deep sleep. You had slept and you got a good sleep as well, added to all this. You had a good quilt, good temperature and a good sleep, all that. But the quilt was there. That you have to accept, isn't it? Quilt was there. Nobody likes to sleep, especially in the West. It's very difficult to sleep without a cover, isn't it? In India, in the hot weather, people sleep without any cover. There's a lot of people who sleep without cover. You'll see they just put some newspapers and lie there and they'll sleep. And nothing there to cover. Some people take their dhoti off and cover otherwise. But in the warm weather it is possible. But in the cold weather you need something to cover. Otherwise you feel cold. So that feeling that something you need to cover the body, and you are always conscious of that cover. And when you come out of that deep sleep state back to the vacant state, it is that experience, as though you slept well and you had a cover on you of the quilt. Quilt cover was there. And that cover which Krishna is talking about, that is called as avaranam. Remember? Avaranam. That is covering potency. Prabhupada called it as covering potency. Two potencies, deluding potency, vikshepam, and covering potency is avaranam. So that avaranam or covering potency was there. And what was the interesting thing about that in that Sushupti state? That it was unlike in the vacant state when you experience happiness, sukham, or the dukkham. Sukham and dukkham is in the vacant state, happiness and distress. There was no sukham, there was no dukkham. Instead, what was there is called anandam. Bliss. That's why it's called bliss. Otherwise you could have said, why you this bliss is not a word normally in the conversation people use very much, isn't it? When is the word bliss? Bliss you can only use what you experience in the sushupti state, deep sleep state. In the normal vacant state, I won't say, I'm in blissful state. I think it will be wrong for me to say, I'm feeling happy today. Or I'm feeling... if you say in devotee's language, ecstatic. I want to put it like that. But not bliss. Sometimes we used to say, I'm feeling blissful, Prabhu. We used to say, but actually it was not bliss. It was some temporary relief from the misery. What we call it as bliss. Misunderstanding that is. Bliss is what you experience in the sushupti. Sushupti. That the important thing about bliss is, unlike sukham is, sukham can vary. Degree of sukham is there. Some sukham is little bit, some sukham is more. Bliss you cannot vary. It's the same for everybody. Bliss. Bliss, what I am experiencing, you are experiencing, somebody else experiencing, it's all the same in bliss. It's equal to all, because you can see in the deep sleep, when we slept in the deep sleep, we experienced the same happiness. What I've experienced, what you've experienced is not different. They are exactly the same. That's why in bliss, quantity, you can't quantify bliss, sukham you can quantify. That's the difference. So, in the sthula shariram, that means in the gross body, there is happiness and distress there. In the dream state, there is happiness and distress there. But in the deep sleep, there is no happiness, there is no distress. Happiness and distress is duality. Bliss is not duality. You understand? Happiness and distress is dvandvam. Remember dvandvam? The duality, what we call as duality. That means something exactly opposite to that will be there. Two things. Boy, girl. Happiness, distress. Day, night. These are all dvandvam. These are man, woman. This is dvandvam. Dvandvam means you see something, right exactly opposite to that, something else exists. Parallel to that. So that is there. Sukham dukham is dvandvam. Bliss is anandam. Bliss is anandam. So anandam is the nature of the soul. Sukha dukham is in relationship with the body. It's in relationship with the body. So what you have experienced, but when we use in a conversation, sometimes you will exchange these two, sukham and anandam, when you speak about that, because when we wake up in the morning, I won't say to anyone, oh, I am in anandam. I will say, I had a good sleep. Sukham, I had a good sukham, sukham. I had a good sleep, I'll say like that. So, I had slept well. So, nobody till now in this world has said, after waking up, after deep sleep, that I have slept in total distress. Has anyone said that so far? Every one of us has woken up and said, I slept and I feel good. Nobody will say, I slept and I feel miserable. I mean, if somebody says, you can't do anything about it. But the truth is this, that if you had a deep sleep, you will rejuvenate and you will feel refreshed and rejuvenated when you wake up. Therefore, you will say naturally, oh, I had a good sleep. I'm ready for the day now to face the day. So therefore, in that deep sleep state, you experience something. Where did that come from? And what you had at that time, is called Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram, it's called. Also called causal body. Causal body it is called, isn't it? That causal body is a very thin layer. It's a very thin layer. So, because it's a layer is very thin, actually that happiness is coming from the soul. From the soul. Because what did the Karana Shariram do? What did the causal body do? It did not allow you to know the soul. It did not. You went to the right place, to the causal body, the deep sleep state. You went to the right place, but still you didn't make contact with the soul. You didn't make contact with the soul. Why? This layer, this thin layer, the quilt or blanket or whatever you had at that time, that blanket has come in between you and Krishna. Between you and Krishna. It has come at that time. So, therefore, at the same time, it did not allow you to know about Krishna at that time. But there is another positive side to it. It did not present to you anything which is not in relationship with the soul. Is it not? That is a positive thing there. That is called anatmavastu. Anatmavastu means that soul is atmavastu. Matter is anatmavastu. Because in the deep sleep state, anatmavastu was not present. Matter was not present. And therefore, there is no distress. That is the reason why you were not having any distress in the deep sleep state.
Vedavyasa Maharshi, Brahma Sutram, these are topics discussed very well. He mentions that why do we not feel any distress in the deep sleep? Because it is there in the vacant state, it is there in the dream state. Why it's not there in the deep sleep? Because matter was not there. That's the reason. It did not allow the matter. Matter means everything. The world is matter. The body is matter. Everything is matter, isn't it? If you don't allow the matter to get into your world, into your body, then you won't experience distress. This is the proof of that. So, karana shariram, or that causal body, Krishna is saying here, because matter was not there, distress was not there, whereas although there was a thin layer between you and Krishna, from Krishna that Alma, it was permeating to you. That is why when you come out, that you had only sukham, never you will report about dukham after coming out from the sleep, from the deep sleep. Nobody can say from deep sleep when you wake up that I was in distress and I was in deep sleep. You can't say that. If you are saying that you had deep sleep, means you had happiness from that deep sleep saying. So sukham is there, and this sukham, nature of sukham is it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. So that is the nature of sukham. That is the difference. Sukham's nature, it comes, it goes. So this causal body or karana shariram, suppose I spread a cloth here and I sit on top of that cloth. Similarly, with this karana shariram or causal body, I am covering the soul. Karana shariram is like a coverage of the soul. And on top of that, I have put my subtle body and the gross body on top of that. That's what I have done. In my real existence, in this present state, is Krishna is there inside. On top of that, there is this karana shariram, causal body, which is on top of Krishna. I have put this causal body, karana shariram, and then I put my subtle body on top, and then on top of that, the gross body. This is how I am at the moment. At the moment, all of us, in other words, it's in the same way, isn't it? So, sthula shariram, sushma shariram, karana shariram. And so all these things, without the presence of sthula shariram, gross body and the subtle body, as soon as you come into the karana shariram, there is happiness, is it not? You know this jagrat sapnam sushupti, the analysis of that, if you read in the Upanishads and their commentaries and all that, you will be amazed by the amount of thoughts the rishis have put into it to understand these three states, vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. They give so much importance to that, to know that why is this deep sleep so important? What's happening there? This is their investigation going on all the time. So they are saying here that as soon as you enter into that deep sleep state, when you are in your karana shariram, at that time we feel happy and there is no distress there. Isn't it? There is no distress there. Even if you have taken away, cut off my body, hands you have cut off, legs you are cut off, but if I manage to somehow get into deep sleep, I still have happiness. Is it not? Remember in the World War what happened, I mentioned before, that in Germany, that so many soldiers, they came back from the battlefield, all lost their arms and limbs and everything, so many things they lost. And they were in terrible pain after the war, from the battlefield they were coming back. So some doctors noticed that all their miseries have gone away as soon as they went into deep sleep state. There was nobody complaining anything. So all their intention was, if you look into the hospitals, you will see when the soldiers come back from the battlefield, the main thing doctors want to do is to keep them in deep sleep as much as possible, so that they don't experience the misery of the body.
miseries of the body. And one German doctor, he understood this. And from there, he understood Upanishads. He started reading and he got interested, eventually gave up his doctor's profession and everything. He went into the Himalayas and took into this life of a mendicant and he started going in this direction, spiritual direction. Things can happen. Thoughtful people who are very... All what he has done is what Krishna is telling us to do. Idam shariram kaundaya kshetra. Because he was a doctor in the army hospital, his attention naturally fell on this. How come all these soldiers who have come without legs and arms and everything, with so much pain and crying in very miserable state, as soon as they were put into deep sleep, they are all same. Nobody is making any complaint and they all want to stay in that state. They don't even want to come back to the vacant state. After seeing this, he came into contact with someone, I don't know who it is, that he realized that these three states are very important. And he started taking it up seriously and then left his profession, took to this studying these three states and made his life, whole life, centered around this, studying these three states. And actually it has made him a lot of progress on the spiritual path in that way. So, whatever may be the distress in life, in the vacant state, as soon as you go into the deep sleep state, sometimes a death happens at home, very close to you, husband dies, wife dies, things like that can happen. But as soon as you go into deep sleep, there is no husband, there is no wife, there is no father, there is no mother, there is no parents, there is no children. All things are resolved in deep sleep, isn't it? That is the nature. So once you go into that deep sleep state, even if you are in a very distressed state with separation from family members or something, as soon as you get a deep sleep few days, you will slowly recover from your distress also. Why? That few hours every day, what that deep sleep brings back to you, will take you out of that. And then after a year or so, if somebody asks you, do you feel the same distress what you felt a year before? It's not there. It's gone. So even in that state, if you go into deep sleep, you will feel happy. Sometimes, you are suffering with some serious illness and no solution to the problem. You are feeling so distressed and body is giving you a lot of pain, a lot of anxiety and a lot of miseries in the body. Even at that time, if you get some deep sleep, you have escaped from the problem. So Krishna has given this famous thing called deep sleep state for us, so that even in the middle of all these miseries what we have here, there is some hope for a few hours to escape from this. So what it is that, so when we go into that deep sleep, Krishna is saying here, what will happen is, without our knowledge, in that deep sleep state, we embrace Krishna. In a very subtle level, we embrace Krishna. And that means Kshetram we leave and Kshetrajnyan. Kshetrajnya we become the association with the Kshetrajnyam. So Srimal Bhagavadam, now important thing. In the Srimal Bhagavadam, you see how Shuga Brahmarshi is brain, the realization of Shuga Brahmarshi. He will tell you all the stories very nicely. But within that story he will package the truth very well. The success is in finding out that truth, what he is telling us. In so many places in the Bhagavadam, you will observe these things. When the wives of the Brahmanas, Vipravatnis, they came to see Krishna. You remember? Which chapter is that? 10th canto, what? Which chapter? 10th canto, yes. 10th canto, it is in the... Viprabhatni Moksham, it is called. The wives of the Brahmanas, Krishna and Balram, went with Radharani that day. And there's a lot of interesting things happened that day. Radharani wanted to go with Krishna to the forest. And obviously Radharani couldn't go with Krishna that day. So Krishna asked Radharani, because that day was Sridham's birthday. So Krishna knew Sridham won't be coming out to play. He'll be at home.
So Krishna told Radharani, you dress up like Sridham and come with me, nobody will find out. So Radharani has to dress up like Sridham that day and go with Krishna and Balaram. Unfortunately, what happened? Krishna can take any dress he wants very easily, without no difficulty. But Radharani to dress up like Sridham was a bit difficult. She tried very hard and it took a lot of time. In that process, Radharani couldn't bring any food with her. And they came to the forest and they felt hungry. And Radharani was very hungry. And when Radharani is hungry, means the whole creation gets hungry. Isn't it? Because she is inside, everyone is Chit Shakti inside. So Jagat Sarubini, Jagat Madhav, she is, isn't it? The mother of everyone. So when Radharani got hungry, everybody felt hungry. All the cowherd boys felt hungry. Krishna and Balaram was also there. And that was the day Krishna told, in very summary, Krishna and Balaram was there and they said to these cowherd boys, we have brought prasadam, whatever we have got, let's have it. So they took the prasadam and they had it, isn't it? After taking prasadam also, they felt more hungry. And the boy started saying, by now they have come far away from Vrindavanam. They are far away from their home. So now to go back all the way back for food was out of question. It's too late. So suddenly Krishna observed some smoke coming from long distance, for a little distance away. So Krishna says to the cowherd boys, go there, some brahmanas are performing some sacrifice there. Go and ask them for food. So they went, the boys went there and they told these brahmanas that Krishna and Balaram had come. They want some food. Can you give us the food? How does Shuka Brahmarshi say? Shrunando pina shushruhu. They heard, but they acted as though they didn't hear. In other words, they ignored them completely, the boys. They felt very offended, the boys. They felt very offended. On behalf of Krishna and Balaram, they have come and asked something. And they felt that they didn't even care to answer back what they have asked for. Not even a reply they gave. So comes back again, says to Krishna that this is how they have acted. And they felt very, very upset. Krishna sensed this, that they were upset about it. So Krishna says to them, go again, don't ask them. Their wives are there. They are in the kitchen. And they are cooking a lot of things there. I know that, he says. Go and ask them, he says. Don't ask them, they are useless anyway. There's no point in asking them. They're not going to. So he sent them back again. This time they go to the Viprapatnis, their wives or the brahmanas, they're gone to them. So when they went to them, they mentioned there that the in the 3rd chapter. So they came, Viprabhatni, they, as soon as they mentioned about Krishna and Balaram, naturally in them, they had heard about Krishna and Balaram. And they wanted to see Krishna and Balaram. They still now they had no opportunity to see Krishna and Balaram. So as soon as the cowherd boys told them that Krishna and Balaram is here, they are hungry, they want something to eat, immediately whatever they have cooked, they have made everything together, put all the pots together, taken it out, and they came straight away to serve Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys. They felt like that, totally opposite to how the brahmanas have behaved in that way. So when they came there, Krishna standing there and they are looking at Krishna. Krishna is standing there. How Krishna is standing there, Shuka Brahmarshi is saying to us, how Krishna stands there. Verse 22, if you look. Shyamam Hiranya paridim vanamalya barham dadu pravala nadavesham anuvradam se vinyasta hastam itarena dhunanam abjam karnotpalalaka kapola mukhabjahasam.
He said, in Bhagavatam, you will find at different places Krishna being portrayed in different ways. Krishna is portrayed, like in Mahabharatam, he is portrayed as Parthasarathi, driving the chariot here. In Bhagavad Gita, that is the Krishna we see there, driving the chariot. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna is given, sometimes shown as a little boy stealing the butter, the Amodara pastimes and all that. And another place is stealing the clothes of the gopis. Another place dancing, Rasa dance with the gopis. Here, gopis, Krishna's, when the Vipravatnis, this is how Krishna has presented to them, to the Vipravatni. Everywhere Krishna is different. Krishna is different in everywhere. How Krishna presents himself to others, it's interesting to see in the Bhagavatam. So here, Shyamam Hiranya Paridim Vanamalya Barham Dadu Pravala Nadavesha Manu Vratam Se Vinyastahastam Itarena Dunanam Abjam Karnolpalalaka Kamala Kapola Mukhabjahasam. Shyamam, Krishna's color, Hiranya Paridim Vanamalya Barham. Krishna has this famous Vanamala around his neck. Vanamala means the garland with the forest flowers, with the forest flowers. And if you look at Krishna at that time, as though he is dressed up to make a performance in a drama. You know how people are, when they dress up nicely for acting in a drama, you have to dress up well, isn't it? For the particular actor's style, you have to dress well. Or film actors, you can see, when you see in the film, they look so beautiful. But when you see them in real life, they look so ugly also. That power of that, of makeup, what makes this body, it is not all that what you see in the screen, looks as though some demigods have come from the heavenly planets. No, that's all the power of that makeup, how they dress up, hours and hours, they put them through this dressing up. So that is how, for acting, they have to do that, isn't it? So Krishna has also looked, it says, Shukha Brahmashri says, as Dadu Pravala Natavesha Manu Vradam Se. Like an actor, he is dressed up very well. And Vinyasta Hastam Idarena Dunanam Abjam Karnolpala Alaka Kapola Mukhabjahasam. One hand on shoulders, Balram shoulders, he has put it on. And a smile, he is standing there next to Balram, he is standing like that. So here you will see so that when, and in one hand he has also got a lotus flower and he is doing this with the lotus flower, just in a very relaxed way about everything. Idarena duna vityasta hastam idarena dunanam vityasta hastam idarena vityasta hastam idarena dunanam abjam. Krishna says idarena dunanam abjam. So, here, Krishna is standing here and Pidambaram, he is wearing his yellow garment and there is a cow, he is next to the cow, he is standing there. So, when these women, Vipravatnis, the wives of these Brahmanas, when they were coming, Krishna looked at them. All of them were ready for liberation. They are all very strong mumukshu. Mumukshu means that mumukshutam means one who has an intense desire for liberation. You know, Shukha Brahmarshi, he compares these wives of the Brahmanas with the gopis, what the difference was. Wives of the Brahmanas, they were fully ripened fruit. What does that mean? Fully ripened fruit means it's ready to fall. When the fruit is ripe, it will fall, isn't it? Similarly, these wives of the Brahmanas, they didn't require any sadhana. They didn't require any instruction either. They are fully ready to, because they knew everything. That was the important thing. They didn't need all the childhood pastimes what Krishna has shown to the gopis. They were, because of their upbringing like that, with the Brahmanas' wives they have heard about spiritual life and they have studied Shastram also, they have knowledge of the Shastram. And not only that, they have lived a life of spirituality in their life all through. And they knew that Krishna and Balaram is the ultimate truth, has come in this form as Krishna here. And they wanted to see Krishna at some time. That desire was also very strong inside. So they are coming as extreme, intense desire inside for liberation when they were coming to see Krishna. So when they saw Krishna from a distance itself, their gross body, the subtle body, and in their causal body, they have transcended all the three bodies and they were situated in their own self, in their self. It is in that way when they came to see Krishna. When they approached Krishna, they were in that state. In other words, they were experiencing the state of samadhi. Shukha Brahmarshi says there, if you look into the verse 23. Prayashuddha priyatamodayam karnapurair tasmin nimagna manasastamathakshirantraihi andapraveshya suchiram parirabhyatapam prajnyam yathabhimatayo vijahur narendraha. That is that verse. He says here, Prayashuddha priyatamodaya karnapurehi yasmin nimagna manasaha manasa tadap akshirandraihi. Then andapraveshya suchiram parirabhyatapam prajnyam yathabhimatayo vijahur narendraha. What is prajnyam state? Prajnyam state is this, that what you experience in the karana shariram is prajnyam. Stulam sushmam karanam. Vishwam taijasam prajnyam. Soul, when it is in the vacant state, is addressed as Vishwan. When he is in the dream state, is called taijasan. When he is in the deep sleep state, is called prajnyam. So imagine, when they were walking towards Krishna, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying they were in the deep sleep state. You won't go to someone when you are in deep sleep, do you? But they were coming here to see Krishna, but they were in the deep sleep state. Prajnyam yathabhimadayo vijahur narendra. That is how Shukha Brahmarshi puts it to us. He wants us to understand their state of consciousness. In other words, they are not in their vacant state, they are not in their dream state, they are in that experience of the deep sleep state. That is how they are arriving there. Shukha Brahmarshi is showing to us, take note of it, he says. What state the gopis were. Why he had to say this? Because in Viprabhatni's case, I mean talking about this wise of the Brahmanas, there was not much instruction required. Krishna didn't give them any spiritual instruction. Told them, go back home, everything is okay. As soon as they got back, they got liberated and left, went back to the spiritual world. They never came back again. Some of them left, who couldn't come, they already left. The others also were released very easily, without long delay. They also were able to leave this world. They didn't give any instruction. Krishna didn't give them any kind of instruction to them. Whereas for gopis, Krishna had to give instructions. He had to send Uddhava to them to tell many things to gopis. And finally, in Samanda Panchakam, Krishna invited all the gopis to come there. There also the instruction continued later. So you can see the difference there. Both are women, isn't it? One is gopis, other one is Viprabhatni. Viprabhatni's case, there was no need to give any instructions because their spiritual life was practically into a mature state, in fully mature state. That is why he says here, andapravesha suchiram parirabhyatapam prajnyam yathabhimatayo vijahur narendraha andapravesha suchiram parirabhyatapam. That they have freed from all distress of this world. What we experience in this life, material distress and all, didn't exist for them. Andapravesha, yondapravesha, mimavasha, pramam, prasuptam. Dhruva Maharaj says this in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So here you will notice one thing, that they have come to Krishna's like this and they were already experiences this prajnyam state. Prajnyam yadhavimadayo vijahur narendra. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there that the mind which wanders in the world after going out through the senses, that's what the mind does, isn't it? Goes through the senses and wanders around in this world. At the night, in the deep sleep state, it pulls out from the senses. It doesn't go. Senses are only holes in the body. There's nothing else there. It's the mind that is doing everything. Mind goes out through the senses, comes back through the senses. It goes to the world through the senses. And when it's not going to the world, the senses are just holes in the body. Nothing it has to do. It is inside. Because you can see this very well. Senses are not experienced. We say sense enjoyment, but actually it is enjoyed by the mind, not by the senses. Every enjoyment, who is enjoying? The mind is enjoying, isn't it? For example, suppose you gave me a very good pot of sweet rice. You put it on my tongue. I put the sweet rice on my tongue. I feel happy. I enjoy it. And I'm enjoying it. Who is enjoying? The mind is enjoying. If I put the same sweet rice on the mic, will the mic say that I'm enjoying the sweet rice? For mic, what does it matter? Whether you put halwa or the sweet rice. It's not going to make any difference, isn't it? So, enjoyer is not the senses. Enjoyer is the mind inside. Enjoyer is the mind inside. So, in the deep sleep state, it pulls back. It doesn't go out through the senses. It pulls back. And at that time, what it does is, it goes inside, and inside the heart, it goes and embraces Prajnan. He goes and embraces and he sleeps there. For a short period of time, Jiva, although he is not, Jiva means our ego at that time, what has gone inside, for a short period of time, although he is not conscious of that, he is in a happy state. Prajna state, isn't it? Vishuntajasam Prajnam, the Prajnam state is Prajnam. He says, Prajnam, Yadha Abhimatayo Vijahur Narendra. He says there. So, Krishna says here, so only for a short period of time in the deep sleep state, he is enjoying that. Similarly, as soon as they saw Krishna, Vipravatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, immediately their mind became very inward looking. When they saw Krishna, the mind went inwards instead of going out. It went inwards. And then knowingly or unknowingly, Shuka Brahmarshi says here, they have gone inwards and embraced that prajnam inside and they experienced their nirvikalpam state without any vikalpam at that time. And that samadhi they have experienced, that is what he is saying here, that is Shuka Brahmarshi's words. Shuka Brahmarshi says, those two lines, that's what it is talking about. Andapravesya sujiram parirabhyatapam prajnam yathabhimatayo vijahur narendraha. These two lines is a description of that samadhi state what the Vipravatnis have experienced there while they saw Krishna. As soon as they say Krishna, immediately Andaryami inside is experiencing that, because Andaryami is standing outside now, isn't it? Andaryami is standing outside. So immediately that realization came to them, that inside this Andaryami is this person, Krishna. So as soon as so Krishna, andapravesya suchiram parirabhyatapam, there is no more distress after that. That experience of prajnam, yathabhimatayo vijahur narendra, that was their state, what they were in. Shuka Brahmarshi said those two lines and left it there. And then he go back into the story afterwards. So you can see here, that Shuka Brahmarshi's words, as soon as they say Krishna, the wives of the Brahmanas, their mind became, which is normally Bihirmukham, external, it went inwards and it went to the Prajnam, embraced the Prajnam, and knowingly or unknowingly, they have experienced that Nirvikalpa state, without any Vikalpam inside that Samadhi state. So, in other words, let it be there, Sushupti means that state, Sushupti state. So, that sleep, that thing what you experience in that deep sleep state, you don't get it in the wakened state or in the dream state, isn't it? You don't get it. That experience I'm saying. What you get in the deep sleep, you don't get in the wakened state or the dream state. So, in the wakened state or in the dream state, you're not getting it. But, person who is seeing all these things, whether it is in the Jagrat state, or the dream state, or the deep sleep is one and the same. Is one and the same. The person.
is one and the same in all the three states. Because the person who is in the Jagrat state is the same person who is experienced the dream state. Who experienced the dream state. And the person who has seen the dream, experienced the dream, is the one who has had a good deep sleep also. Deep sleeps also. So that person who had gone into deep sleep is the person who has woken up now and is staying in the vacant state. And is the same person who is also dreaming. Who is also dreaming. So all these three things, which one? Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. These are called, which is exhibited in us, which is exhibited through us. Behind that, there is a light behind these three things. There is a light or a prakasham or light behind it, which is doing that. And it is that light which is illuminating these three states in a person. It is that thing what Krishna calls it as jnaha. Remember this word here? In this word. You see Bhagavad Gita, subtlety of these verses. Idam shariram kaunteya kshetramityadhi abhidhiyade edadyo vetidam praho kshetrajna iti tadvidhu. Idam shariram kshetrajnaha. Yaha means kshetrajnahan. Kshetrajnaha. So kshetram and kshetrajnaha. So that kshetrajnan is the one who is experience, who is behind everything and who allows us to go these three states it presents in front of the world. Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. But is one person, it is whose presence these three states come into existence. These three states come into existence. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, so here that Krishna says here, so this kshetrajnaha, now in essence everything is same thing, but in different places it is addressed different for various reasons. So kshetrajnaha means one who is present inside this kshetram and who says, I know what is happening. I know what's, who is knowing everything, what is going on in the kshetram. That is his position. And it's the same person who is aware that his existence. I am. That awareness. So that is present inside us like this, you know, in the rainy season, in darkness, there is something which will come out with a light. What is it called? Fly. Kind of fly. Firefly. Firefly, yeah. Firefly. Like a firefly is inside that. Krishna is inside. And that is called kshetrajnan, who is always conscious of everything what's going on in the kshetram. In other words, it's not different than antaryami. Antaryami is spoken in another context. Here it's called kshetrajnan. So kshetrajnan is that person who is present inside, and if you close your eyes, they say that you can see this kshetrajnan inside doing its job. Doing its job. So because normally there's a lot of chitavrittis coming in inside us, isn't it? Thought waves are coming one after the other. Added to that, there's a lot of emotions also coming through us all the time. And in between all that, what we address as tamogunam, which is what is that? Sleep. What we call it as tamogunam. And that also comes in between. And behind all that, he is present. Even behind the deep sleep, he is present there. He is present there. Who is conscious that the deep sleep is happening now? Deep sleep is happening how? So that situation there, what Krishna says here, that powerful force behind this, just like they say that in a room, if you have lighted a lamp and you close the doors and sometimes through a hole, peephole, you look inside, the lamp is inside, isn't it? Similarly, sometimes this lamp, yaha, kshetrajnan inside, the rays from that kshetrajnan will come through, come out through some. It's like the experience of the different things is nothing but the rays that's coming from the kshetrajnan. In other words, unlike the science, who give importance to the senses and their activities, Shastram says
senses have no value. Mind has no value. It is this Kshetrajnan who is present inside. He is the one who is coming out. He is the one who is going back. He is the one enjoying everything. In the fourth canto, you will read this. In the Rudra Gita, about Shiva, Yogadesham they call that, prayers, you will see this. That it is him who is coming out and enjoying, he goes back. And that comes out in the form of some rays when you are trying to enjoy, when you are doing certain actions, karmam, or some vigaram, emotions. In everything, he is interfering in everything. And that ray is coming from that source, and he is Kshetrajna. That is the way Krishna is going to present this in this chapter. So, I think we will stop today because it's now 6:30. And we will continue on Friday. Is Good Friday, isn't it? So we have those 4 days, and hopefully 7 o'clock we will start if everything goes well, and then continue with Bhagavata where we have stopped before. On Friday we will discuss about bhakti aspect, what we have not had time to discuss. So we'll do that on Friday, and on Saturday, Sunday and Monday we'll continue with Bhagavatam where we stopped. 19th, yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.